$26,990. That's a lot more car for a lot less money. Destination, Germain Toyota's Big Lot, Naples, on US 41, just south of Bonita Beach Road, I-75, exit 116, Naples.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. What you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is scared. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James here with you, and so glad to be here coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Fort Myers, Florida. So glad to have you along this evening. Got headphone trouble already this evening here. Well, we'll get the tape out and fix them up here after a while. Hey, we are glad to have you along with us. It's been quite a week. Yours truly has been, oh my, down with the flu this week. You know, that terrible flu. I don't know. I haven't had flu for a long, long time. And we like to joke here in Southwest Florida that, you know, we never get sick. But then when the northerners, the snowbirds, come down and visit, they bring all that flu and stuff with them and give it to us. And my, oh my, oh my, did I get my share of it this week. So I'll try and last for the whole 3 hours. If the voice lasts that long, if it doesn't, you might hear, oh, for the last hour, Ron might throw on maybe Berlioz's Requiem or Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night Dream or something like that, or whatever our live orchestra for Republican Love. By the way, we are going to have some Republican Love tonight, so they could entertain you for the last hour or so if they had to. They're great orchestra, as you well know. It is good to be here tonight. We're going to have a great guest coming up around 7:30, Dr. Max Sawicki. He's going to be a guest. Well, we'll have him on for about a half hour. He's an expert on the federal budget, federal tax policy, state and local tax and spending issues, and public finance and privatization. He's an economist at the Economic Policy Institute, and I don't have to tell you that you usually have to have a pretty big brain to work over there. And what he, as I posted up on the website for a lot of you to see, what he doesn't know about Social Security isn't worth knowing. So we will talk about Social Security tonight. Quite a bit, I hope. And we're also going to talk about some other things. We're going to talk about, well, we're going to talk about some wayward Democrats. You know, we often talk about Republicans and things we don't like on this show, but never let it be said that we're not absolutely fair on this program. If a Democrat's been doing us wrong, we're going to talk about him. And we're going to talk about a certain couple of people tonight. And I promise you, it won't be pretty. But has to be done. Has to be done. And, of course, I know all of you sat down this week to the tube and had your popcorn and your Coke and hot chocolate, whatever, out and watched the entire state of the union speech, and we're highly entertained and probably just amazed that Mr. Bush got through the whole thing without too many terrible mistakes. Of course, you know, most State of the Union speeches are nothing but a bunch of flowery BS. It doesn't matter who gives it, usually. But this one really stands out from all the ones I think I've ever heard. Not for what he said, which was, as usual, just a lot of meaningless fluff, but rather for what he didn't say. This little gem of his should have been billed a State of the World speech, because it sure as hell didn't say a hell of a lot about the state of affairs in the United States of America right now. Let's face it, if he had gotten up there Wednesday night and told the truth about the real state of the union here in the United States, there would have been panic in the streets the next day. Whoa, Wall Street would have collapsed. Every financial institution would have had to close their doors, and fortunes would have been lost, and America's standing in the world would have gone straight down the tubes if he had told the truth. We know this because there are now rumblings going on all around the world, and you better pay attention, boys and girls. All around the world, other countries are talking about the highly possible collapse of the U.S. dollar and the ramifications of it if that happens. And, of course, America would be financially devastated, but many of the other developed countries would have some serious problems as well. But instead of getting up and telling the truth, Junior Bush gets up and toots his horn over and over and over again, never mentioning the effects of the war, he forgot to mention very much, and that phony stunt of the hugging moms. We're going to talk about that just a little bit later. He just happened to be sitting right behind one another. It was one terrific stage special effect. You know, let's face it, folks. These guys are pros, and they don't miss a thing. And, of course, by now you've heard the truth about that Iraqi woman whose father was killed by Saddam. But what a beautifully choreographed stunt it was. Old Carl has not lost his touch. There's probably a lot of boo-hoo had gone along, and wait till you find out about that Iraqi woman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But never mind that the guy who occupied one of those seats last year was none other than the esteemed Ahmed Shalabi, who has been proven to be an extraordinary liar and con man. But, of course, he was a very good friend of the CIA and Mr. Cheney. They love the guy, and he had the chair of honor last week. Remember him taking the bows last year to the cheers of the Republicans in the Congress? Never mind that it turned out that he was one of the main characters in Bush's charade, or should I say parade of liars, who conned the American people and the ship of fools known as the United States Congress into salivating over a war that should never have been fought. Never mind that the old Axis of Evil speech talked about Iran, and Iran is now more prepared than ever to deliver a nice puffy white nuke cloud to its neighbor. And let's not forget that North Korea is doing its best to dispense a little radioactivity itself, but you know what the staunch Republicans say? Bush always means what he says and says what he means. Well, I've got a lot of questions, and I've got a question about that statement so many use for Bush. He means what he says and says what he means. Did he mean what he said when he said we're going to get Osama dead or alive? Did he mean what he said when he mentioned the world is now a safer place without Saddam? Is the world really sleeping better at night knowing that some two-bit dictator's behind bars in Baghdad? Our ports, our borders, our nuclear facilities, are those really safer than before 9/11? No, sir. I don't think for one moment that Bush means what he says. Oh, he might think he means what he says, but he just doesn't back it up. Or concerning the actual State of the Union, as he's fond of saying, is our kids learning? You remember when he said that. I don't think there's been any evidence whatsoever that his nearly non-funded No Child Left Behind debacle is working in any way, shape, or form. And how about the phony prescription drug scam? By now, most seniors with any brain power at all have figured out that those wonderful discount drug cards, their only value are as pieces of paper to write down the web addresses of Canadian drug company sites, which will usually sell you your prescriptions at a cost that would embarrass your local pharmacist, if your local pharmacist had a conscience. But then whoever said the American drug cartel had any sort of conscience? Have you noticed that the prices of drugs that you got to have immediately, those you can't wait several days to get in the mail, have skyrocketed? Imagine that. Lots of emergency drugs have had their prices doubled, tripled, even quadrupled over the past few months. It must be some sort of coincidence that the pharmaceutical companies were at or near the top of Bush's presidential campaign fund drive. You know, I think one of the greatest examples of political gall is when Bush said it isn't safe to import drugs from Canada. Let's see now. Let's say Eli Lilly, an American giant drug company, makes a pill deemed safe by the FDA. Let's say they're some cute little blue pills. They package them and send them by truck up to Saskatchewan, Canada, to their local drug supplier up there. And some poor schmuck from North Dakota drives up to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, buys those pills, but now they're not safe because they crossed the border. Now I'm wondering about Canadian bacon, Canadian club, Celine Dion music, Canadian toothpicks. Sergeant Preston movies and such, using the same logic, wouldn't all of that stuff be dangerous too? You know, somebody needs to start investigating all those products right now. You know, the list goes on and on about the State of the Union not being near what it was when Junior Bush took over the reins of government. In fact, why don't we just take a poll of Canadians and Americans and find out which country all those polled would feel safest in right now? Which country would be attacked first by the terrorists? Oh, wait. Of the two ones, which will get the second attack on the North American continent? Any guesses who might come out on top of a poll like that? Any guesses as to who exactly is responsible for millions of people feeling that way? I wonder. But Bush said things are great. The economy is growing by leaps and bounds. Workers are flourishing. Things are just great. And if you believe that, please step to your left and get in that line over there that says O.J. is innocent, donkeys can fly, and Michael Jackson should be head of the local Boy Scout troop. Because that's the line you belong in. You certainly do, if you believe the State of the Union story he gave the other night. And oh, what a story it was. Well, you can call us. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Let's get right to the phones, and let's talk to Tricia in California. Hi, Tricia.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Great.
Well, I wanted to talk about, there was a quote I read online this week that said that Bush said that Social Security was going to be long gone in 1988. He said it in 1978, so it seems like he hasn't been very optimistic all along about Social Security, and his tax cut helped create this problem.
Well, it certainly did. And you know, Tricia, one thing that puzzles me a whole lot, and I'll bet it puzzles you too, they're talking about Social Security going broke in, or at least running a shortfall, a deficit in the year 2042. The best estimates are that it would run a $300 billion deficit if everything remains the same in the year 2042. And they're talking about this being a crisis, a real crisis. Now, there's an almost $500 billion deficit laying on the president's desk right now. And they're saying, don't worry about it. It's nothing.
And that makes us vulnerable to other countries right now, too.
You bet it does. And these, you know, and this guy with the way they've run the budget, the way they've run the treasury of the United States, they want to mess with our Social Security? I don't think so.
It seems like our Social Security is more like a car that may just need a little tune-up.
I think that's a pretty good analogy. I really do.
I also wanted to talk about the payola scandal that has gone on, and with the bribing of certain reporters.
Oh, you must be mistaken. Certainly no reporters
using our tax dollars to bribe reporters. And it says in Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution that the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of either treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So I think that this may actually be the scary, seems like this might be a big thing that we could really get a lot of Americans, angry about, because their tax dollars were used for this.
You know, absolutely. You're so right, Tricia. And how does, I know you and I, and most of our listeners on this program, we don't listen as though it were gospel. When we hear in these right-wingers talk, or the right-wing talk shows, or Fox News, we always take it with a grain of salt. But imagine the people that sit and listen to that stuff as though it were serious every day. How do they differentiate now truth from fiction? How do they know that when Snow, for example, on Fox, or any of those guys on Fox, how do they know that they haven't been paid to simply read what they're saying right off a sheet straight from the White House?
Exactly. And it's funny because after Williams was caught, I kept thinking, okay, well, who's cashed their check? You know, every time I watch the news, I'm wondering if they've just cashed a check from the president to push his plan.
Absolutely. And you know, every White House has paid some money for PR, but normally it's for like these don't smoke campaigns or things like that. But, you know, real public service announcement. But these guys are actually paying money to push policy, and that's as wrong can be.
very true, Guy. Well, you have a good one, Guy.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
It.
Bye.
Let's take a trip from California all the way back to North Fort Myers and talk to Diane. Hi, Diane.
Hi. What was the big kiss on Lieberman's cheek about? I can't figure that one out. I mean, that blew me away.
Well,
I'm wondering what job is he trying to get or what? I don't know. But anyway, on the Social Security, again, and, you know, I mean, people just got to wake up in this country. You know, you put it in the bank and talk to people that had lost their money in the Silverado bank scandal and the Mercantile Bank where Henry Hyde robbed them. Bushes did Silverado. I mean, Phil Graham went to prison over it. How short memories can people have? The inside traders in the stocks, how can you trust them? Look at the Arthur Andersons. You want to put it in 401Ks? Okay, let's talk to the Enron. People that lost all their money in their 401Ks. You do the right thing. You work hard. You pay into things. They'll let these scoundrels rob you. And that's exactly what will happen. Just because they got away with it before, don't think that they cannot do it again. Because believe me, that's what they've got planned.
You know, Diane, if they'd shown us some evidence that they're good at handling money.
Yeah.
That might help us a little bit.
I mean, he's already bankrupt this country, and yet we're to trust him.
Yeah.
And his policies on anything that has to do with anything on the economy. Give me a break.
That's right.
I trust my 3-year-old grandson better than that.
I trust
him. He knows
him
how
too.
To put pennies in a piggy bank. Hey, have a good day.
Thanks for your call, Diane. Pennies in a piggy bank. Well, there's a lot of pennies involved. A lot of pennies involved with that, let me tell you. Let's go to Dave in California. Hi, Dave.
Well, Guy, I'm one of your biggest regular fans, and my internet computer is inundated with these Patriot Act stormtroopers. They do whatever they want to do. They have no regard for citizens' rights. And they would now like that I not listen to the Guy James show any longer. They block email at will and what. I thought I'd say that. I certainly also share the concerns that are being expressed on Social Security because poor people will never be able to afford to invest enough in any stock scheme that they'll ever be able to hope to retire with anything. Those people that are working at minimum wage or near it, they're never going to be able to ever. Social Security has been absolutely excellent for the low-wage earner.
Oh, it has. And, you know, Dave, one question I would like to ask. You know, we have this $90,000 cap, and I'm sorry to everybody that makes over $90,000, but why should the guy down at Walmart take home $15,500 a year? Why should he pay Social Security on every dime he makes, when the guy that makes $250,000 only pays up to $90,000? Why should that be?
Because this administration believes that taxing rich people is the equivalent to communism, you know, that rich people are supposed to get the big exemption. That's the people that put this administration in office. Very rich, very greedy people put the money in to buy this election, rig the election, whatever, to get their people in power, who in return will give every break possible to the very rich at the expense of the poor. I see this happening in every way that they can do it.
Well, and there's a lot more poor people to pay the bills than there are rich people, so, you know.
They're an ever-increasing lot, I fear. You know, there's going to be more and more people competing over very low-wage jobs with no benefits, and that's what this administration thinks is ideal. Any money that the corporatists don't have to pay to their workers, that's money they can put in their own pockets. So.
Any of our listeners noticed lately how many companies are taking away benefits slowly but surely? Insurance benefits, first they make you pay a fourth of it, then a half of it. Next thing you know, well, you know, we just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It's happening. You know, I know. We had a story on earlier this year. In fact, we had the man himself on, where he worked for the Whirlpool Corporation, and a company came along, kind of an outsourcing company, took over the employment where Whirlpool didn't employ the people anymore, and gave the employees that had worked there 30 years, gave them half of what they were making with Whirlpool, and you can keep your job if you want to. And, you know, they were making $18 an hour, so we'll give you $9 an hour now. So, you know, it's happening all over the country.
Well, if they're seriously taking this program away, I'm going to miss you very much, Guy. You stream only on Windows, I gather, is that right?
I I guess so. I guess so. We're only on Windows. We're trying to do something with that. I'll just be right up front. I'm a techie fool. I don't know anything about it. And we've had some issues lately with our streaming and so forth. I know it doesn't sound just quite as crisp as we'd like to have it. And I think that originates right here at the station. It's not how is it they usually say on TV? Don't mess with your dial. Problem here. Anyway, we'll get it fixed up.
Well, I do believe one thing, though, that these folks that have the Carnivore apparatus and are able to access Internet computers, they mess with them something severely.
Well, you know, Dave, you bring up a point. A lot of people, a lot of Democrats I know, a lot of people who are passive in the political world and, you know, let the rest of the world go by. They think that the Republicans right now are out after to grab some power, and they're out to have their own way and all that. What the Republicans...
You don't think that?
Well, yes, but I think there's a much larger agenda, and I think there's an agenda that's going to take place before they get all that done, and it is first to eliminate us. Their first priority is to eliminate completely the Democratic Party, and then there'll be hell to pay.
Boy, I'll tell you, there's some very evil folks that have stolen our government right now. I would, it'd be wonderful if we had any recourse right now.
Yeah, well.
Non-bloody revolution of some kind.
We're going to have to fight back. Let me ask you something, Dave. As far as the new chairman of the DNC, what do you think?
Oh, I think he'd be great. I think Howard Dean holds to the principles that we should value. I think those that argue to get elected, we must move more towards the Republicans.
Bull.
Terrible disservice.
Bull.
Yeah.
And right now, I think it behooves us to have a fire-breathing dragon as the DNC chairman, and that man is Howard Dean.
A very, very intelligent, principled human being that will balance budgets and still care about... He cares about people that don't have enough to bribe him.
That's right, and he calls a spade a spade. He's a Truman-esque Democrat, and I like that about him.
Yes, I do too, Guy.
Thanks for your call, Dave.
So much. I appreciate you. Thanks, brother.
Oh, let's see. Let's go clear on over to across the river here to Cape Coral, Florida. We're going to talk to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Great.
I haven't called for a while, but I hope you're feeling better.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, I want to first of all talk about what you were saying in the last call about I really believe that the Republicans are out to destroy the Democrats, and that's why it's so important to me that we join Democratic clubs and we start to fight back. We got to fight back because we need an organization, and I think Dean is the one who can do it to counter the Republican noise machine. Because we can't allow them to do this to us. I know in having arguments with neocon conservatives that they're two different kinds. Some will just argue and yell at you, and others will start to. They give you is slogans, and you know you can tell that they're listening to these counterpoints on Fox News and the cable television's full of it. Around here, there's right-wing radio around the clock, and you know all they have is slogans. They don't have any real facts, and when you start to hit them with truth, and because when the truth is on your side, you know, and you have the actual facts, then after a while they just ignore you or won't talk to you at all. I mean, that's how they are, and it's frightening to me that we have millions of people in this country that don't want to know the facts, that don't want to learn anything. All they want to do is believe. I mean, it's like mindless emotionalism, and whenever a country gets in that state, that's not a good state to be in.
Ryan, you're right on the money, and you know as well as I do, with a lot of these people, it's winning.
Yes, it's winning. That's all it is. And truth don't matter. It doesn't matter what's right. I mean, how many times has Bush manipulated and lies about war in Iraq? You know, with this weapons of mass destruction. Then it's Iraqi freedom. Then it's democracy. The rest of the world knows the torture that's going on over there, and they even know the real facts about what's going on there. It's the Americans that don't. But I also wanted to talk about Social Security. You know, I don't want my Social Security money going to a brokerage firm. I mean, what would that be fees? And no one, Bush would never mention that. What would the fees be, 30, 40%? I mean, his idea of saving Social Security is like someone's idea of to save a village. His idea of saving Social Security is like burning a village to save it. I mean, you know, and another thing about this deregulation and about this privatization, do you remember when Reagan deregulated the savings and loans?
Sure.
And what and Bush's brother, Neil Bush, and I mean this is the most organized crime criminal family that we've ever had in Washington. I mean, Neil Bush, how much money did our tax dollars go to bail him out with? Wasn't it like over $1 trillion?
It was well over $1 billion.
Yeah, to bail out the savings and loan. You know, nobody remembers that. And you know, everything that these Republicans get their hands on to privatize or to deregulate, it all goes, as soon as they get their hands on it, it all goes down the tubes. You remember cable television, how we were going to have more choices and the price would go down? Well, it's gone up. And how about the phone company? The phone bills are out of sight. I mean, everything
yes.
they deregulate, it goes down the tubes.
You'd be right on the money.
And I think that, you know, we have to counter this Republican noise machine. And I think Dean's the one who can do it, because I want to fight back. I do want to fight, because I don't want no more of these federal and state elections where we're voting into a machine. We don't know if our
right.
votes counted or not. We don't know how our votes counted. And I mean, I'm sick of it.
I got a pause for a hard break coming up right
okay.
now. Thanks for
okay.
your call.
Okay, have a good
great
day.
To hear
okay.
from you.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Guy
Bye
James
now.
Show. We'll be right back after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
An all-new Oprah. See this geeky viewer? From dud to stud. Will Smith ultimate love makeover.
I'm going to cry.
Next Oprah.
Monday at 4, then after Oprah. Americans love their credit cards, and credit card companies love for us to use them. But Wink News shows you new ways these companies are able to jack up your interest rates.
You're ripping people off.
Costing you a fortune. Monday on Wink News at 5, right after Oprah.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Let's you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. True View, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader.
The countdown has begun at Olympia Point. If you're looking for a new place to call home in the greater Fort Myers area, you only have a few days left to secure a priority position to attend Transeastern Homes Priority Selection Event. Olympia Point offers single-family homes and townhomes, priced from the 100s to the 300s, but these prices are only offered to those who have a position and attend the Priority Selection Event, February 13th and 14th. You must secure a priority position to participate. All those who attend are sure to get a better selection and lower pricing than the general public. So secure your position today. Call 866-659-7683 or secure a position online at olympiapoint.com. Time is running out, so secure your position and lock in pre-construction pricing before these homes are offered to the general public. 866-659-7683. 866-659-7683.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Wanna learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free. With free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. You want your GED right here, guaranteed, Mom. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a washing machine. A common sound in 5 to 7 million U.S. homes where children still wet the bed over age 6. Bedwetting is a very common medical condition. I'm Dr. Mark Cendron, urologist from the Children's Hospital of Boston. Bedwetting is no one's fault. My brother wet the bed until age 12. It's a medical condition that can be treated safely and effectively, as I do daily. If your child wets the bed past age 6, talk to your health care provider. Please visit www.afud.org. A message from the American Foundation for Urologic Disease.
A tip for older drivers from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Take a more active role in your driving by scanning the road for potential hazards. Move your head and your eyes. And using your side view mirrors combined with your rear view mirror can keep you informed as to traffic and obstacles all around you.
With a little practice, you'll be more aware of everything around you than you've ever been. And that's the right step toward making an older driver a wiser and safer driver.
For a free brochure on older driver safety, call 1-800-993-7222.
You've heard the right. Now, all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Okay, back with you here on the Guy James Show. Just a, what time is it? 7:34 in the evening here on the East Coast. Still having trouble with my headphones. Got some dead phones here. We'll get that fixed up pretty sure. As I promised you, we're going to have a guest come up at 7:30, and it's just a bit past that, but we've got Dr. Max Sawicki, and he's an economist at the Economic Policy Institute. He's worked in the Office of State and Local Finance of the U.S. Treasury Department and the U.S. Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations, and he also serves on an at-large national board of the Americans for Democratic Action. We wanted to talk about Social Security tonight, and I don't know who would do a better job at that than Dr. Max Sawicki. Welcome to the show, Doctor. There, we've got Dr. Sawicki with us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us this evening. I was just telling everybody about your bio here and all the things you've done talking about money in Washington, D.C., and, of course, Social Security is a big issue right now, and I can't think of anybody more qualified to talk about it than you. I know you're quite up on the situation right now. What is your overview of this whole situation, of this privatization or personalization or speculation or whatever it is they want to call this?
Well, it's really, I think it's a bait-and-switch operation. The president is holding up these private accounts as some kind of alternative to the existing program, and not on the grounds that the program is insolvent at some point in the future, and not talking about the fact that if he believes it's insolvent, these accounts do nothing to alleviate that problem, and in fact they could make it worse. What's also in store on top of the accounts are actual cuts in benefits. And the cuts could start a lot sooner than the president has assured us, because he's saying that basically the bonds in the trust fund, he's basically saying the cash shortage that comes up, which is really a matter of income taxes being used to pay debts to the trust fund, is something... is some kind of crisis, when in fact it's perfectly expected that the government would repay its debt to the trust fund and continue paying benefits to people that are retired now or will be retiring soon.
Well, with the massive budget deficits we have going right now and trade deficits that we have right now, are we in a good enough shape to pay those?
No, he's actually driving the budget into a ditch. The taxes right now are, at, if you compare them to the size of the economy, which is the usual way to do it, they're at the level they were in the 50s. So we have a Leave It to Beaver tax system right now, and of course our spending system is where it's been for 10, 20 years, which is higher, and that simply can't persist. The tax cuts that were done since 2000 are really setting the government up to be unable to meet its obligations to Social Security and to paying benefits in the relatively near future.
Are you, like me, are you, do you think they're sinister enough to think that possibly this isn't a plan to save Social Security, but a plan to replace it?
Well, I don't think it's much of a secret. Ideologically, they don't like government, although they don't show it in terms of their spending until relatively recently, and they don't like programs that people come to depend on, like Social Security, and they would like to unravel them, and that's why they want to privatize them. They used to say privatize, and now they found out people don't like that word, so they say personalize, but
yes,
it amounts to the same. It's the very same thing.
So what you're really saying is shifting money out of the trust fund to pay for the private accounts while probably having to borrow trillions of dollars to pay the promised benefit.
There's probably about it.
Yeah. And that does nothing to ensure solvency. Won't it actually accelerate the program's financial strength?
Well, yeah. If you take money out of the trust fund, then the dates at which the fund is projected to have a shortfall become sooner. I mean, there's no two ways about that.
Well, it also seems like the president is assuming that high rates of return are going to come in for these private, or as I call them, speculation accounts.
There's much less there if you look closely at the details. First of all, the rates of return that could be expected in the future are less than what we've experienced in the past, because the stock prices are at historic highs relative to earnings. So we really would need a crash in the stock market to imagine the value of the market increasing to the point where you would get the kinds of rates of return we'd seen in the past. So that's first problem. Second problem, people are not going to be allowed to choose stocks or stock funds. They're going to be required to choose funds that are what they call blended. They're going to be required to buy some lower rates of return, and then there is this what they call life cycle procedure, where you're required to have a less risky portfolio the closer you get to retirement. So the rates of return in these accounts are much less than what a lot of people are imagining, and a chunk of that return is going to come straight out of your Social Security benefit. So even if you have some extra return in the accounts, squaring that with the cuts in benefits that are really under the table but in the works, people are definitely going to have lower benefits, even if you take into account some marginal higher rate of return in the private accounts than in the program itself.
Well, I just see so many holes in this whole thing. You know, the younger workers, and I know a lot of this is aimed at the young people to make it sound attractive to them.
They get screwed the worst in this.
Well, the way I think you're right. The way I figured it, any increases they might get in their private savings probably would be offset by higher taxes they'd have to pay to cover Bush's $2 trillion borrowing to fund this whole privatization plan.
Well, it's the taxes to cover the borrowing used to pay to put money in these accounts. And secondly, it's the benefit cuts that, if you say the program is insolvent, as the president is saying, and you say it absolutely must be made solvent, and you say you're not going to use any taxes to do that, then you have to cut benefits. And the benefit cuts are going to far outstrip whatever you find in this account. There's no ambiguity about that, and it's precisely going to hit the kids. I mean, the people are going to be retiring who are not quite working yet. People retiring at age 65, in 50 years or so. That's where the hammer is coming down in all this, and they're going to see this little account. But the benefit offset is going to more than compensate for whatever is in that account.
Well, you know, Dr. Swicky, many times, speaking for myself anyway, we Democrats are accused of moaning and groaning and complaining about what's going on, but don't have an answer for this. What do you think needs to be done, if anything needs to be done at the moment, about the Social Security?
Well, first of all, the budget's out of shape because of first of all tax cuts that were completely unreasonable in light of spending that's been committed to, including Social Security. Secondly, our defense budget is probably larger than we need. Even if you put aside the expenses for Iraq and Afghanistan. Thirdly, what we really have to be interested interested in for the future, although it doesn't sound something you can solve quickly, is the rise in health care costs, both public and private sector. Those are really the budget priorities. If you address those, there's absolutely no problem in Social Security chugging along. The trust fund itself, according to the Congressional Budget Office, is solvent until 2052. And so there's that. If one were to worry about what happens after 2052, you would rank that as a much lower priority than some other things that are staring us right in the face, like a record budget deficit right now.
Well, that's one of the problems I have right now. We've got an administration who has shown no propensity to take care of any kind of budgetary concerns whatsoever, clear across the government board, and now they're talking about how to spend our, you know, how to invest our Social Security money, and it seems like there's just no qualifications there to do it.
No, it makes no sense. They talk about Social Security having a deficit in 40, 50 years from now, an unfunded liability. And meanwhile, they passed a prescription drug benefit with no accompanying financing, which is a much bigger unfunded liability than Social Security is. They're passing new stuff. They're making commitments in other areas. There was an article in the paper a couple weeks ago. They're going to start paying for this new gadget to help prevent heart attacks. Well, great. But that's an unfunded liability, too. So they routinely add things to the budget without financing, unlike, say, under Clinton. I mean, spending went up somewhat, although more slowly under Clinton, but they paid for it. Spending has gone up since 2000, although slowly in the last year. But the taxes have gone south in the other direction, with apparently the deliberate intention of causing some kind of budget crisis, which is the only way they could persuade people to cut spending programs that are basically supported.
Well, here we are with the politics of fear once again.
Absolutely.
They are doing this with the Social Security. They're cutting budgets of many, many social programs that we need out of fear once again. What do you think is the end game for them here?
Well, there's more than one possibility. The one danger in all this is that right now we have deficits that are not sustainable. It's not that the present one is causing anything to fall apart, but the trend in deficits, sooner or later, most economists think this would worry financial markets to the point where you could see spikes in interest rates, people dumping dollars in assets that are denominated in dollars, and then we'd be in a real pickle in terms of the economy. There would be real damage to our interest-sensitive sectors like real estate, automobiles, agriculture to some extent. So that's one end game. And in that kind of crisis situation, perhaps the administration thinks they can get away with really chopping some programs down. On the other hand, there could be some real problems for the economy that raise all kinds of other issues. So I really think they're playing with fire. They don't quite grasp the implications of what they're doing with this reckless fiscal policy.
Well, and we also are starting to hear rumblings from other countries around the world. We're hearing rumblings now from China that the U.S. dollar isn't worth the paper it's printed on. And we're just starting to hear that all around the world. It seems to me that some of the countries that we've run over in the past financially could easily gang up on us and cause us a lot of problems right now.
Well, it certainly raises an issue of security. The People's Republic of China has something like $150 billion of U.S. debt. And, of course, if they were to dump it all at once, they would take a loss. But they could fool around with it, and they could cause some havoc to our own financial markets. And I think that completely eliminates any conceivable leverage the United States government has over them in any kind of foreign policy dispute. And similarly with Japan, although we're not as much potentially at loggerheads with Japan as we might be with the Chinese Communist government. But this fact that this increasing foreign ownership of U.S. government debt and U.S. been looked at enough.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a betting man, but this program seems to be picking up some flack, even from some powerful Republicans in Congress. And
nobody's supporting it yet.
No.
Social Security. Well,
it also appears to be a political hot potato that not a lot of people are not willing to get their hands on it as of yet. But it's going to be interesting to me. I don't think any Democrats will go along with it at all. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe Joe Lieberman will. But
well, this is fellow Alan Boyd, I think his name is, in Florida, who's been he's a Democrat and has been discussed in terms of waffling a little bit around this. So there's one. He's in. Of course, he's in the House, which is going to pass. They'd pass anything. I mean, the Republican caucus in the House. But right now, they're so sick. I mean, ordinarily they could be dependent on, but they're saying they want the Senate to go first. And so even with their majority, their lockstep majority in the House, they're skittish, and the Senate's a big problem. You know, they don't want to step up to the guillotine either. So the president, I mean, he's not gotten very far yet, but they have tens of millions of dollars they're going to spend on this. So I think we're really at the beginning of this debate, and it could drag. There's a lot of shoes to drop yet in it.
Oh, they've got a lot of money they're prepared to spend on advertising.
They got a ton of money.
Yeah.
It's going to be Harry and Louise every day.
How true. And, you know, so far this, this administration has shown not much desire to ever back off anything they've started on. They've usually seen everything through. So inside the Beltway, you think the political scuttlebutt is they're going to push ahead with it, but it doesn't have a chance?
Well, the White House is going to push ahead, and Congress is waiting to see if the White House picks up any steam and any popular support for it, but they're not getting a lot of public encouragement in terms of actual support for the proposal from people from their own allies in Congress. They've gotten vague encouragement, but nobody's really stepped up to say I'm for this proposal.
Well,
because it entails them saying here's how I want to cut benefits.
Right, and regardless, they're talking about nobody under what under the age of 55 would get any benefits cut at all, but you know how that always goes.
Well, I don't believe that. The problem is people don't understand the budget. The budget is in an untenable situation looking forward. There is nowhere near enough money to pay for the things they've committed to, even if you do big cuts. And one of the things that is the commitment in the budget is paying debts owed to the trust fund, which the trust fund will need in around 2018 to continue paying all the benefits that people are expecting in Social Security. And that's the budget problem, which is coming upon us.
What kind of debts are owed to the trust fund right now?
Trust fund has about $1.5 trillion in, I believe, in bonds.
Hmm.
And those will continue to accumulate for the next 10 years. Or so.
Yeah.
Around 2018, it's projected to begin to have a cash shortfall. That doesn't mean it's broke. It means that the payroll taxes coming in are not enough to pay the cash expenses for benefits going out. At that point, the fund has this huge stack of bonds, trillions of dollars in assets, and which are earning interest, which are credited with interest. And at that point, the government will be obliged to start paying some of that interest in cash instead of just crediting it to the fund, because the program needs that cash to continue paying all the benefits that are owed.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, it's a program that's been around a long time, and it's been a program that's been pretty doggone successful for a government program, but nothing's perfect, and Social Security hasn't been absolutely perfect. As someone who thinks a lot the way I do about this whole program, what do you think is the main problem with Social Security right now?
Well, I guess the thing that's raised most often is treatment of spouses, there's not necessarily credit for the second earner in the household for the payroll taxes they pay into the program. And so there's some concern about, of course, this would cost more money, not less.
Sure.
As most things do of this nature. But so there is a concern about how typically the female half of a marriage, how their earnings are treated in terms of benefits. But beyond that, I think that the program really is in pretty good shape for some time. Now, there could be a point in 20 years or so where the shortfall that is foreseen is still there, and we need to start to take some steps to meet it. But there's plenty of time to do that. And at this point, the future is, that point is so far away that there's really no reason to try to address it. I mean, you could pass a law today that says starting in 2040, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, there's going to be future generations of voters and members of Congress, and they're going to do whatever they want to do. And what we say today about what happens in 30 years is pretty much irrelevant. I mean, they're going to do what seems right at the time, and they're going to have a better vantage point for that than we have today.
Do you see anything wrong with raising the cap, the $90,000 cap, for the, what is it, approximately 2% of the people?
Well, the problem is here, we had a commission in 1983 headed by Alan Greenspan when Ronald Reagan was president, and they said there's a future shortfall in the program, so we're going to raise payroll tax. And it was understood that there would be a surplus in the trust fund that would be banked, and it would be credited to the fund, and it would accumulate interest, and that would help to meet the future shortfall in the program. Now, here we are coming up to the point where those accumulated funds will be needed to pay benefits, and you have all these people running around saying, oh, they're just IOUs. They don't mean anything. There's no reason the government needs to or will repay them. So I would be more confident about something like raising the cap if there was some way of, and if there was some way of absolutely assuring that the money would in fact be credited to the program, and that we wouldn't get people later on saying, well, that's just an IOU, we don't have to repay it. And that's the danger. Right now, the program is running a surplus. So if you raise the cap now, I mean, that money would be lent, it would be collected, not spent on benefits. It would be, the federal government would borrow it and use it for whatever else it's doing. And the trust fund would grow. And that would be, at least acceptable on some level if we were really sure the debts to the trust fund would be honored and that money would be used to pay benefits. But the posture of the current administration and most of their allies in Congress lends some doubt to that. Now, at the point where the fund was cash short, which might be in 2018 or 2020, at that point, if we were going to raise the cap and use the cash to pay benefits, I think that would be fine.
Okay.
But we're not there yet.
Well, Doctor, I'm sure glad that you joined us this evening. You've
thanks.
A lot of really good information that people really need to know. As you know, there's going to be this nonstop campaign going on around the country, whistle stop and everything else by Mr. Bush to try and counter everything you've said, and they'll embellish everything they want, and they have the advantage, I think, right now on that. But in talking to enough folks like you, and maybe doing what we do here, maybe we can get out the badly needed truth on this situation. And I'm very thankful that you were on the program tonight.
I appreciate the invitation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Max Sawicki. Again, thank you, Doctor. It's great to have you on the program.
Thank you.
I tell you, I'd love to have him on again. I will. You know, he and we can't have him on again.
he's a guy that shoots straight from the hip. He doesn't give you a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I know that everything the man said was so easy to understand, and yet if you knew his background a little bit more, he's one very brilliant man, So we got just a few seconds yet before we got to move out for the news. Yeah, we got about 45 seconds yet before we have to leave for the news at the top of the hour. You know, our number is 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Here locally, 479-5540, and again, Collier County, to all you folks down there, 263-6570. Love to hear from you this evening. We've had this odd thing going on of our listenership increasing and our phone number of calls dropping off. We don't understand that. So give us a call. We want to hear from you. You are the important part of this show. Don't forget that. And I never forget it. And I want you to know that I respect your opinions, and give us a call. So you're listening to the Guy James Show, WPTK. No, not at Wink, WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers, Naples. Stay tuned for the news.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett. To win a spot on pro football's most coveted roster,
I feel blessed.
As former Miami Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino, he was elected to the Hall of Fame today. So was one-time San Francisco quarterback Steve Young. He remembered as a high school kid from Connecticut when Marino was playing for the University of Pittsburgh.
I very vividly remember standing about the 25-yard line watching the first college football I'd ever seen. And I remember a comeback route, about 18-yard comeback route that Dan threw right in front of me. And I thought to myself, holy cow, I don't think I'm going to play in college.
But he did, Brigham Young, and then went on to a great pro career. You might not know much about Fritz Pollard. He was the NFL's first black head coach. And Benny Friedman was a quarterback in the 1920s. Those two also made it to the Hall of Fame today. Less than 24 hours until New England and Philadelphia decide which is the best team now in pro football. CBS's Peter King has some tips on a pregame meal.
Super Bowl Saturday night is one big street party down by the river here in Jacksonville, and just about every kind of food you could want. Some local delicacies, gator tail being sold at the stand. We just walked by to get everything from huge smoked turkey legs to the big fat seafood dinner.
It has drizzled a bit this week in Jacksonville, but the weather should clear up come game time tomorrow. He is still pushing privatizing some Social Security contributions, but the president said on the radio today,
I will listen to anyone who has a good idea to offer, and I will work with members of Congress to find the most effective combination of reform.
Terry McAuliffe, outgoing head of the Democratic National Committee, said in the radio response,
Democrats want any plan to solve the Social Security challenge to be rooted in fiscal discipline, with budgets that pay as we go. Democrats will insist that any change to the system not result in benefit cuts.
A mother has reportedly confessed to police in Huntsville, Alabama, that she starved three of her children who died. The bodies of those kids, ages 8, 9, and 11, were found in the family's apartment. Pope John Paul II is recovering from his breathing problems suffered 4 days ago. Here's CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano.
The Vatican has now confirmed he will extend greetings to the faithful tomorrow here at St. Peter's Square, though still unknown as how. Live on TV, maybe just radio, maybe just loudspeakers, or maybe tape. Also, he will not officiate at Ash Wednesday services here. Doctors will still have him at the hospital, or if he's back here at the Vatican, just not strong enough to do it.
Up to 5,000 U.S. military personnel are still helping tsunami survivors from December's disaster. The Navy says the mission could end when the month of February does. Some Indonesian recovery efforts continue to find bodies. And sometimes about 1,000 bodies a day. This is CBS News.
Hi, Stock Exchange. Hi. Can I speak with a bell ringer? Yeah, that's it.
The popular Sunday afternoon show, Half Hour to Health, is hosted by Dr. Jim Zuck, Sundays at 11:30 a.m. You can hear and call in to Dr. Zuck with your questions and concerns about your physical health. Stand up straight. Watch your posture, your mom used to say. And as always, Mom was right. Tune in to Half Hour to Health every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. and hear Dr. Zuck explain how chiropractic gently removes the cause of your health concerns.
As a child, I spent a lot of time at the big
office building
just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to finish my education. So she dropped me off the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at the
vacant lot.
Like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. What you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is scared. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening. Yes, indeed, you are listening to the Guy James Show, and I'm so happy you're with us. All of you folks out there listening locally on the radio at WINK, WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM here in Fort Myers and Naples, Florida, and all up and down the beautiful, and I'm not kidding, beautiful Southwest Florida coast. My, my, my. We are indeed lucky to be here. It was cold this morning. Yes, it was. It was cold. And all the snowbirds down here look real disappointed. You know, they only got up to maybe 70 today, and they can't go to the beach when it's 70. Well, you can, but, you know. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504. You can also catch us, you local folks, if you want to. If you're surfing the net, www.theguyjamesshow.com. Listen live right on there through the miracle of modern science. Yes, indeed. And, of course, we've got our studio audience present here. We've got Ron running the board. Everything is just rolling along so smooth tonight. I was so happy to have Dr. Sawicki on. We're going to have him on again. He's an interesting guy, or a very interesting guy. He used to work at Treasury, and those people who work over Treasury, they're usually pretty doggone smart, and they know the score. They really do. I got a whole lot of things to talk about, but before I do, I got a young lady, and she is young. She's very young at heart, and she's been waiting forever to talk on the phone and talk to us today, and we love this gal. It's Juanita in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
Hi.
Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. That was an excellent interview.
Wasn't it, though? Isn't he something?
Yes, he is. We need to hear those things.
We need to have him follow Bush around. Every
stop
he makes, he can go in and correct the mistakes.
Right. Well, I just wanted to speak to you about three different things. Two of them concerning the speech.
Yes.
What is that?
The State of the Union.
State of the Union. If you notice that when he speaks about Social Security and the crisis before that was changed to something else, you could substitute Iraq for Social Security and be the same speech.
That's a good one. That's pretty clever.
Yeah,
yeah, you're
and
right.
One thing that teed me off that he said that really teed me off is, he said that about the migrants coming in and taking the jobs that the United States people wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we can't work for slave wages. You know, we have all this insurance to pay and this and that and the other, you know. And those people, that's a fortune to them. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I think that's a big insult.
I know what you're saying, and you know, you and I both live in a state where this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I know a gentleman and his wife, Dick and Florence Nojay, who got a project started over in an agricultural community not very far from where we're at called Immokalee. And Immokalee grows a lot of crops. And doggone it, on this farm that they've got started over there, they grow blueberries.
Uh-huh.
And they want to put the blueberries in the store at us with a note with them, you know, a sticker on the carton or whatever, the blueberries,
uh-huh.
And it says these were picked by
people that made decent wages. And so the store would have to charge maybe another nickel a pound for them or so. Not much.
Yeah.
Not much. But who would go in and pay another 5 cents a pound for tomatoes or 6 cents a pound for tomatoes to know that that family out there picking them was going to have a decent wage?
Even if they're migrants, you know, it doesn't make any difference.
It's about greed.
Right. And then I'm one of those people that I like Lou Dobbs. I think he's the only good reporter on TV.
Lou's been exceptionally honest here this
He's really, I know he's a conservative, but...
He is, but he's an honest conservative.
And he criticizes the administration quite a bit.
Oh, he does. He has lately.
But the show he had on the other night was funny to me because he was talking about, you know, all these counterfeits that China's making.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing much we can do about it. And all these, you know, these companies are saying, we've got to be protected, our plans and all, you know. And his survey was, do you think these companies deserve to be counterfeited? And it was over 90% yes.
Oh, my, yes. Well, there's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah.
A lot of that goes on right here in Florida. Some of these counterfeit, well, purses for one thing. Purses is a very popular.
They're even going to do cars now.
Cars?
China.
Oh, man, imagine buying a fake Lincoln. What are they going to do? They're going to make a Hyundai into a Lincoln? They got to put a... That's going to be hard to do.
I thought that was funny, that survey. I mean, he had some real good surveys on there, and I thought that was apropos.
Well, Lou's right on the ball.
Yes.
Thanks for your call, Juanita.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now, y'all look out when you go out and buy a new car from now on. You make sure it's a real deal, that you don't, you know, buy yourself a new Cadillac Eldorado and find out it's a Chevy Vega underneath or something. You know, you got to look out for these counterfeits. Now, you know, there's lots of counterfeits in the state of Florida. There really are. You know, one thing I can think of that's a big problem is, believe it or not, is purses. What's I'm asking our studio audience here, what's that famous purse company? Has the V on it. Ron's got... See, he's been buying these. Louis Vuitton. Why, they got Louis Vuitton, fake Louis Vuitton bags all over the place there in Southwest Florida. I mean, the ladies buy them like crazy. I don't know. And Gucci... They usually sell for what? I don't know, $800,000 or something like that much? The real ones? The studio audience. No, the studio audience. Now tell me, how much does a new Louis Vuitton bag cost? $700. And so you can buy a nice fake counterfeit one for how much? We got the blackboard going here. $150. And are they comparable in quality? Okay. Good enough. And it's the same way. Well, I know another thing that a lot of counterfeits go around. Watches. Watches. How many guys do you know right now that make $200 a week wearing a Rolex? lots and lots of them. And Breitlings and Gucci's and all those. There's just a lot of counterfeiting going on. You know there is. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We got Republican Love coming up sometime before now and the end of the show. But right now, folks, gather around. We got some serious business to talk about. This is serious. And I talk about what I'm going to talk about right now with a heavy heart. I really do. I am going to talk about Senator Bill Nelson of Florida. As you know, I am a Democrat. I'm a sworn Democrat, have been a yellow dog Democrat my entire life. And I think Democrats are Democrats are Democrats, and they should be loyal to the party, loyal to the country first, and then loyal to the party. But here lately, let's see, we've got Mary Landrieu of Louisiana. We got Pryor from Arkansas. We got Salazar from Colorado. And, of course, the poster boy for George W. Bush's initiatives, no matter what they are, is Joe Lieberman.
And I'm sorry to say there is one more Democrat who didn't have the courage to vote against Alberto Gonzalez for Attorney General of the United States, my own Senator Bill Nelson of Florida. Now, any reasonable person can look at this situation and know that there are only two possible reasons to vote for Gonzalez. Number one, you must think that he's an outstanding leader, an excellent legal mind, and above all, you must believe that he's above reproach and a man who has the leading legal authority in the country. He must be guided by a moral compass that never, never takes him off the course of what is right and proper for the people of the United States of America. Now, since we all know that Gonzalez totally lacks those qualities, there's only one other choice. So we come to reason number two to vote for a man with a record like Gonzalez's. You're willing to be a political whore and sell out your convictions in order to save your political ass by trying to curry favor with Republicans in a state where you are now the only elected Democrat in the state with any clout whatsoever. Yes, we've got some Democratic House members here, but Bill Nelson, Senator Bill Nelson, as the lone Democratic senator, carries the banner for Democrats in Florida, or at least he should carry the banner. But now, he has joined the enemy, and I don't use the word enemy lightly. Mr. Nelson, to quote the man whom you obviously agree with most of the time, you are either with us or you are against us. And since you have now voted to confirm proven liars to the positions of Secretary of State of the United States and Attorney General of the United States, it is obvious to me, and I want you to know it is obvious to the hundreds of people who have sent me email and called me this week, it is obvious to me and all of those folks that you, Senator Bill Nelson, no longer agree with the principles and morality of the Democratic Party. It's that simple. Now, I want you to know I'm always fair. Mr. Nelson was invited on this program this evening to defend himself, but he chose not to appear. Not to appear. We're the only Democratic liberal talk show in Florida, and he is our senator, but he didn't have the time to talk to us this evening because of what his office called a scheduling conflict. Scheduling conflict, my Democratic behind. He lacks the courage to publicly defend his position on either of those votes. It's that plain and simple. He had the opportunity to speak to thousands of his Democratic constituents tonight and explain his reasoning for his voting. But he showed us what he's made of. He showed us what he's really made of by refusing us a 15-minute interview tonight. You know, I've got news for you, Senator. By voting with Bush, you will not save your job in the next election. You will be targeted by the Bush administration in their continued effort to destroy the Democratic Party piece by piece. And with these latest yellow-bellied votes of yours, you are helping them do it. You ask Tom Daschle how much good it does to capitulate to the Bushes. We all know who is the current lightning rod for abuse from the Republican Party, and it's none other than Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy, despite all his faults and warts, he's got the guts just like his martyred brothers. He doesn't give a damn what Bush or the neocons think of what he says. He speaks his mind, and he tells it like it is because he's a man who speaks with the courage of deep-seated, democratic, pro-American convictions. Ted Kennedy is a real Democrat, Senator Nelson, a real Democrat, and you've lost sight of that a long time ago. So here we are. With no explanation from our Senator Nelson as to his reason for voting for Condoleezza Rice and Alberto Gonzalez, two of the most disgraceful candidates of this audience, of those offices in the history of this country. The man had the courage to be an astronaut, but he lacks the cojones to stand before the folks who voted him into office and explain his position on these two people who have already disgraced this country and now have the opportunity to do it some more, and they will, mark my word. His office even promised to send us a statement explaining his votes. No statement was forthcoming. So I now find that I have something in common with the Republican Party in Florida, Senator Nelson. Both they and I will actively work against your reelection. It would be better to have a real Republican in your office than to have a Democrat who acts like like a Republican. Shame on you, Senator Nelson. Shame on you. Anything else to say about Senator Nelson? Don't get me started. Well, let's go to the phones. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Let's go to Mike in Fort Myers. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I just wanted to say first that it's actually nice to be able to hear to the other side on the radio, because there's so many that are conservatives out there. Not that I disagree with them or you, but it's nice to be able to have another side to listen to on occasion.
You should disagree with all of us once in a while.
Right. Absolutely. I'm actually needed to call in when you had your guest on, but I didn't have the chance because I have a question about the Social Security thing, and I was hoping that while you might not be able to give me an answer now, maybe you could get one or relay the question.
I certainly will try, because I can get a hold of him very easily.
Okay, and I just want to say first that I'm 26. I have a wife and two kids. I'm an entrepreneur with a fledgling business and a second job to put food on the table in the meantime while I try to get it going. But my thing with Social Security is that I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I don't want it. I would like to know, how can I get out of it?
Well, I don't know. It used to be that you could go work for the railroad because they had their own. It used to be that you go get in the teachers union. And my studio audience is saying don't apply. I don't think, no. If you work in a job in the United States outside of the people that have a private, you're in.
I'd heard, and this was years ago, but I'd heard that somebody somewhere had actually managed to get out of it, and they gave them a totally different number that meant the same thing as having a Social Security number, except that it didn't have Social Security tied in with it. But it took them, like, years to do it, and I don't know for sure how it's even possible. I just would like it if it would be, because I
honestly don't. Well, you know, Mike, you got me on that. I really don't know the answer. I'm, as my friends would tell you, I'm seldom speechless, but I really don't know the answer to that. I do know that a lot of teachers' unions and the railroads never used to have Social Security, but or you could become a member of the House of Representatives of the United States Senate. Now, there's an idea.
Well, maybe eventually, 10 years from now or so, but yeah.
So, what kind of a business are you running?
We're dealing with ponds, as in water gardens, koi, and the like.
And you're doing it yourself?
Well, it's the wife and I.
Congratulations to you. I admire that
Thank
so
you.
Much. I really do.
And for those who are listening, where ponds are us brand new, we'll be in the yellow book come the August edition.
Well, good. Good. I wish you well. And you know, I think more people your age need to grab the bull by the horns and take off and do what you... Because, number one, hey, you're not going to have the opportunity, first of all, at jobs like a lot of people did when I was your age. When I was your age, believe it or not, most people could get out of high school, get a job, and support a family. But you can't do it anymore. So,
okay.
Good luck with that. And you know, Mike, I'll try and find the answer to that. And just stay tuned next week to see if
okay.
I can
Okay. Well, just if you would, email it to us at PondsRUS2004@Hotmail.
Man, let this guy get those in there. PondsRUS
at
Hotmail. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. You know, there's an enterprising guy. He calls in to get by like five commercials all at once, and more power to him. Love to have young folks getting out and doing a good job, getting their own business going. Oh, let me see. I'm supposed to push this button. All right, let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy. I'm glad you're feeling better.
You know, I should have put quarantine signs on the studio door. Ron's out there looking at me kind of funny.
Your caller that just got off, I wish him luck too. He's young and he's got his family, and but don't be too quick to get out of Social Security. It's a safety net for everybody. You don't know if you're going to be in a car wreck. What is your family going to do? You could become disabled later. And if you never have to use it, it's like unemployment. God bless you. You didn't have to use unemployment, but somebody out there needs it, and it's there for them.
As always, some words of wisdom from Bill.
And this thing about Armstrong Williams, it's not just him. It's all these other people that are coming forward now. And we see that Social Security only has 1% administration to administer the entire program, and the Bush administration is forcing and ordering the PR people in the Social Security Department to say that there is a crisis, the Social Security is going broke, and that privatization is a good idea. And if anybody believes anything other than this administration wants to destroy Social Security, you better wake up. That's all I can tell you.
Well, first of all, to at least half of America and most of the rest of the world, they've got a terrible credibility problem.
Right.
They'll never convince half of America and the rest of the world of anything anymore. You're not... I saw Condoleezza Rice heading overseas this, talking to people, and I'm thinking, my God, what the leaders over there must be thinking when she walks in the office.
Well, you know, that the upper middle class and the wealthy, they know what stocks are, they know what bonds are, but can you see government cars going through all the poor neighborhoods in the country and handing out attaché cases to all the poor people so that they can deal with the stock market? They're poor because they, for one, there's racism, they're not treated right, and for one reason or another, some can't handle money, and you don't solve the problem by trying to put a striped suit on them and an attaché case. It's not going to work. We have to have some basic safety net in this country.
Well, Bill, you and I both well know that not everybody, I don't know how to say this, not everybody just has the intellect to go do what other people can do. Other people can do to be successful. There's
and if they get wealthy, good for them. That's a good incentive for everybody. But everybody can't do it. And that's the bottom line.
They certainly cannot. You know, how many of us have been in a position? I've been in a position in the past to have a lot of employees at a business I had, and trained a lot of people.
Right.
And doggone it, there's some people that take to things like a duck to water, and there's other people that you know, you hire under probationary thing so that they, you know, can learn a job, and son of a gun, after 30 days, they haven't been able to do it, and you know they've tried.
Yeah, and it's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm proud to say that I had a person, and I'm a blue-collar guy, so I don't have a lot of business associates, but I did have a salesman mention that he'd heard my call to your show, and he didn't like it, and I was proud for him to say that because it was my opinion, it was my freedom of speech. And if things keep going like they're going in just a few years, freedom of speech itself could be outlawed. You could be off the air, and I couldn't talk to you. And that is a reality that's coming towards us.
Well, you know, Bill, somewhere through my notes here, I'll dig it out a little later, but they've done a survey now finding out about high school students, what they think of the First Amendment.
Yes, and they don't like it.
Oh.
That is the scariest thing I've seen.
You betcha.
Coming from the young people.
You betcha.
And have you heard the latest, these federal recruitments for the Reserve Navy? They're not saying join the Navy and see the world or keep us safe. They're saying join the Navy and make this world a better place. What kind of utopian empire statement is that? Coming, that is politicization of our military, and that's another scary thing that's happening.
It sure is.
I got one religious report for you that, you know, Pat Robertson talks to God on a regular basis. And Dr. James Dobson and Reverend Falwell are trying to get Pat Robertson to ask God if it's possible that SpongeBob Bob could be the Antichrist. That's going to be the next big headline. Well, that'll lighten things up a little bit, guys. Thanks so much. Take care now.
I tell you, poor Bud SpongeBob. Square pants, Bob. Sponge in there someplace. Yeah, I love it. Speaking of Dobson, you know, if you want to save the nuclear family that they're always talking about, begin by not promoting these crazy radical right wing fundies like Dobson and Falwell and Robertson. This is from a fundy rag, no less. And this is a quote from James Dobson. Now, I want you to listen to this. The divorce rate is actually higher by a small margin among born-again Christians than for those who profess no faith at all. I don't think Mr. Dobson...
jobs, it's getting the job done, do you? No, certainly not. Boy, that's pretty distressing news right there, don't you think? And then there's this SpongeBob SquarePants deal? I don't know. That makes me... Hey, let's go back to the phone, and you can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We got Eric in Vermont. Hi, Eric.
Hi. How you doing, Doc?
Great. Yeah.
That's great.
I'm trying to tell myself, Eric, that I'm doing great. I've had this stupid flu all week long, and I'm going to go home and crash when this is over, but you know I have had a good time on the show this evening.
But you know something?
What?
Earlier this evening, you made an allusion, an attribute to the people from north coming down there. Actually, if they use a strain that has been brought up by the skiers from South Florida and brought back down to Florida.
Well, son of a gun.
Really, I have that on higher authority.
The water skiers?
Yeah, it's that warm, almost. Yeah, they're getting kind of snowed out here with the melting process, yeah. Anyway, so if you're doing great, I'm doing great, everybody's doing great. I had a couple things to talk to you about. First of all, I'd like to compliment you on the stimulating conversation we had with your guest tonight.
He was great.
Thank you for presenting him. Second of all, we'll just bounce around and you tell me when I'm having enough time here or whatever. I wanted to go back into the Gonzalez vote for the four no-shows.
Yeah.
I thought it was very strange that Baucus and Burns of Montana, Baucus being Democratic and Burns being Republican, were one of the, or two of the no-shows. I just thought that was very strange that both of the senators from Montana, I was wondering if you had a take on that guy.
Little collusion there, don't you think? Hey, I'll stay out if you stay out. Things like that go on in the Senate all the time.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. Anyway, getting back into the Social Security thing here, you had some very good callers previous to mine, both of them. The young man that was 26.
Yeah.
I've been talking to a lot of younger people, and basically, I'm concerned about the idea of the First Amendment thing, which you have previously mentioned. In addition to that, I'm very concerned about some of the younger workers that don't even believe that they'll get anything out of it, so they've almost given up trying to get involved in doing anything about it either. And that causes me,
you know, Eric,
some consternation.
I got to be honest with you. I think when I was 26, I was saying that. Really. I think people have said that about Social Security for the last 40 years. That when, by the time I get old enough to retire, there won't be anything there. And right now, at my age, I'm pretty sure there will be something there when I retire. And no kidding, when I was 26, I know darn well I said that lots of times. There won't be anything there for me when I retire. So let's hope that trend continues.
The other thing that I had, the final thing, well, the final thing that I'll do before I overspend my time, I received a phone call, and I'm not sure whether I should mention what went on. It was something I wanted to talk about last week. It was a representative from Lyndon LaRouche.
Oh, yeah.
And this lady talked to me for about 45, 50 minutes, and she's got my name off of one of the petitions that I had signed for whatever cause I was signing for. And she went into some of the economics of why, in their opinion, as the representative for Lyndon LaRouche, that it was so imperative for this administration to privatize, personalize, or whatever the term is by any other name,
speculative,
what is going on. And I don't really know how accurate this is. I'm a psychology major and a little short of a master's degree in education. Economics has never really been a field that I've really gotten into enough, but so I'm going to be a little stupid here, completely. They were indicating that there was an artificial investment type of type of thing that was going on Wall Street or wherever the financial center was, and it was that one of the main reasons why the privatization or personalization actually bolstered up value of some commodities that were going on. There were. I really haven't had time for research, and I was just curious. Do you have any idea what that lady was talking
about? No, I don't, but I will tell you this. I too, have gotten a tremendous amount of email as of late from the LaRouche people, which I have found very strange. I have never approached the LaRouche people whatsoever. I don't know. They might have gotten my name off the same list they got yours, but I've gotten inundated with email from the Lyndon LaRouche people lately. Very, very odd. I'll have to read some of it a little more closely.
Well, it seems in finality that they are, I mean, that is their drawing line. They feel very firmly that Social Security is the battle. And if that is not won, then we have absolutely major problems. And I just hope that all of the Democrats, including my senator, independent former Republican Jeffords, just hold the line on the Social Security, and perhaps we can get some of the Republicans. I do know that some of the Republicans, as you do, are not real excited about going ahead with this new Bush Social Security.
Well, they better draw the line in the sand. I think they will. Got to pause for a break, Eric. So good to hear from you. I'll start reading some of that LaRouche material a little closer and see what the heck if I can figure that out myself.
Well, I'll tell you, I need to spend more time myself. You have a good night, sir.
Thanks, Eric.
Listening. Bye-bye.
Great to hear from him up there in the beautiful state of Vermont. You listen to the Guy James Show, and we're going to be back. I'm way late for a break. Ron's looking at me funny. So we're going to pause for a break right now, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Hey, Kenny, open up. I know you're in there, yo, man. Yo, Kenny, we got school. Kenny, come on. Don't make me break down this door. I'm not lending you money when you're 50. All right? That's it. Come on, y'all.
Who do we want?
Don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Stop shouting already. What do you think you're doing? Helping you, that's what.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
This is Jeff. While he's sleeping, he's providing food and clothing to flood victims in the next state. This is Susan. She's making dinner now. She's also helping people get first aid, CPR, and AED training. And this is Gary. He's stuck in traffic right now. Meanwhile, he's helping to provide measles vaccinations to children in another country. Jeff, Susan, and Gary aren't superhuman. They just donate money to the Red Cross. While they go on about their lives, their donations work together, helping to fund activities that save lives, proving that when we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. So whatever you're doing right now, you could also be helping your community to prepare for the unexpected, all with just a simple donation. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
edamame, which literally means beans on a branch, is quickly becoming one of America's favorite vegetables. It's a soybean that's harvested when the beans are very small. You can eat them plain, salted, or in salads. You can even buy them already shelled. Edamame is an easy way to work soy into your diet. Soy protein, the FDA reports, may reduce your risk of heart disease and can rebuild lost bone density. For more information, visit www.seapointfarms.com.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
And here we are in the Winked WNOG studios, coming to you at our new time. Hope you're getting used to the new time. I'm starting to get into the groove a little bit. Used to get done at 6 o'clock, and my dear wife and I go out and have a lovely supper. Go home and relax, you know, plenty before going to bed. This way, just go home and go to bed when you're done. I don't like that part of it, but I do enjoy all the new listeners that we have, and it's good to hear from you. It really is. 888-602-7500-7501-7502-7503-7504-479-5540 here locally. 263-6570 in Collier County. Call us. If you hate our guts, call us and tell us why. Why, if you love the show, call us and tell us why. I don't know. So I heard some guy call Randy Rhodes this week. You know, I like Randy, and Randy and I are friends. And I heard some guy call Randy Rhodes the other day and says, you know, you're always down on Republicans, telling you. Isn't there anything good that you can find about the Republicans and what they've done with the administration? And Randy says, okay, I'll play that game, but you go first. you don't get past Randy. You just don't get past him. So naturally the guy couldn't go first because here he is a diehard Republican, and he couldn't think of anything good either, so it's kind of ended there. Don't forget, we're going to have some Republican love coming up, probably in this next hour, probably right after the top of the hour. And you know, there's always some diehards. Did I just give the phone numbers? Well, I'll tell you, Ron, it's bad when you can't remember if you gave the phone numbers about 2 minutes ago, evidently. But hey, did you have a good week this week? He did. Okay. You know, we played an audio clip last week about the from that neocon slut and the man Coulter. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ann, but you know, you got to call it like you see it. And what would Harry Truman think of me if I didn't call it like I see it? And I do. I always admired Harry Truman, and Harry called a spade a spade. I'm doing it myself. I always have. Studio audience knows that. Studio audience has accused me of not having much gray area in my life. And the studio audience being my lovely bride tonight, and every show for that matter, she knows there isn't much gray in my life. So I do call it like I see it, and it doesn't always bode well for me. But we do it anyway. Kids can't seem to help it. Last week, I got an email from some Republican fool this week. It challenged what I said last week about Ann Demand Coulter's argument with a Canadian broadcaster about whether or not the Canadian government committed troops to the Vietnam War. You know, Coulter stated in no uncertain terms that the Canadian government did, in fact, commit troops to the war in Vietnam, and the Canadian broadcaster disagreed, and so did I. So this clown sends me this email saying I was stupid and wrong because over 10,000 Canadians fought in the Vietnam War. Well, you know, he is correct that 10,000 Canadians fought in Vietnam, but the only flaw in his reasoning is that none... Not a one, not a single, not a zero, zilch, none were sent there by the Canadian government, you see. So I stand by my statement that the Canadian government sent no, zero, zip troops whatsoever to the Vietnam War. At least the guy spelled stupid correctly this time, which shows me that we're making some progress with these neocon fools. A lot of Canadians came here, fought under the American flag in Vietnam. Don't ask me why. Of course, back in those days, and I don't mean it in any way to disparage anybody, but a lot of times back when I was about that age, you know, a lot of guys, a Canadian or whoever, they might go out and do something a little bit illegal, get caught by the law, and a judge would give them a choice. you can go to war or you can go to jail, and a lot of guys took that choice. But I'm not saying all the Canadians did. I don't mean that, but. Yeah, not a single one. So, hey, pal, whoever you are that keeps sending me this email, I think that's strike three on you. I'm not sure, but really, a hearty congratulations on spelling stupid right. That warms the cockles of my heart, wherever the cockles of the heart is. I've heard about them for a lot of time, and I've never seen them on one of those charts in the doctor's office yet. In fact, I was at my cardiologist this week, and I was looking at that chart, and it didn't say cockles anywhere on there, but I don't know. I talk about the craziest things. You know, Larry King the other night, I felt this was important. Since Bushy got all of his State of the Union glory this week, if you want to call it that, it was such a lackluster speech, and it was such a rambling speech, and it was such a... And, I'm going to be honest here. I've heard lots of State of the Union speeches. Well, now, three of them from him. Or is it four? Yeah, four of them from him, actually, that were lackluster. But I've heard other ones that didn't amount to a hill of beans, even from some presidents I like. They're usually... I don't know why they even do it anymore. I really don't. It's propaganda, mostly. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I hope to God everybody will forget by this time next year what I said that I'm going to say in tonight. That's a typical State of the Union speech. So, Larry King showed the other night, and he was going to have this lady on, I'm trying to think of her name. Sheehan. Yeah, her name is Sheehan. And she sent this email out, and I got this. And I think it's important that you hear this. A lot of you haven't heard this. A lot of you just hear the gung-ho, glory hound people who just rah-rah, let's go kill everybody in Iraq and, you know, that sort of mentality. And I think it's important that you hear the other side once in a while. And this is the other side. This is from Cindy Sheehan, mother of a dead soldier. She said, I was supposed to be on the Larry King live show last night. I was asked to be on the show to offer my opinion on the election in Iraq from the perspective of a mom whose son was killed in the war prior to the elections. One of the questions I was going to be asked was, do I think my son's sacrifice was worth it? Well, I didn't get a chance to be on the show last night because I was bumped for something that is really important. The Michael Jackson trial. If I was allowed to go on Larry King Live last night and give my opinion about the elections and about my son's sacrifice, this is what I would have told Mr. King and his viewers. My son, Specialist Casey Austin Sheehan, killed in action in Sadr City 4404, enlisted in the Army to protect America and give something back to our country. He didn't enlist to be used and misused by a reckless commander-in-chief who sent his troops to preemptively attack and occupy a country that was no imminent threat or any threat to our country. Casey was sent to die in a war that was based on the imagination of some neocons who loved to fill our lives with fear. Casey didn't agree with the mission. But being the courageous and honorable man that he was, he knew we had to go to this mistake of a war to support his buddies. Casey also wondered aloud many times why precious troops and resources were being diverted from the real war on terror. Casey was told that he would be welcomed to Iraq as a liberator with chocolates and rose petals strewn in front of his unarmored Humvee. He was in Iraq for 2 short weeks
when the Shiite rebel welcome wagon welcomed him to Baghdad with bullets and RPGs, which took his young and beautiful life. I think my son's helmet and Vietnam-era flak jacket would have protected him better from the chocolates and flower petals. Casey was killed after George Bush proclaimed mission accomplished on May 1st, 2003. He was also killed after Saddam was captured in December of the same year. Casey was killed before the transfer of power in June of 2004 and before these elections. Four Marines were tragically killed after the election yesterday. By my count, about five dozen Iraqis and coalition troops were killed on election day. Is that the definition of catastrophic success? But is that a good day in Iraq? Hundreds of our young people and thousands of Iraqis have been needlessly and senselessly murdered since George Bush triumphantly announced an end to major combat almost 2 years ago now. All of the above events have been heralded by this administration as turning points. Turning points in the war on terror, or as wonderful events in the march of democracy. Really? I don't think, judging by very recent history, that the elections will stop the bloodshed and destruction. A little footnote of mine, they certainly have not as of yet. But back to her letter. I would have asked Mr. King if he would want to sacrifice one of his children for sham elections in Iraq. Would he or George Bush send their children to be killed or maimed for life for a series of lies, mistakes, and miscalculations? Now that every lie has been exposed to the light for the invasion and occupation of Iraq, why are our sons and daughters still there? Not one more drop of blood should be spilled for this pack of lies. This war was sold to the American people by a slimy leadership with a maniacal zeal and phony sincerity that would have impressed snake oil salesmen a century ago. The average American needs to hear from people who have been devastated by the arrogance and ignorance of an administration that doesn't even have the decency or compassion to sign our death letters. In the interest of being fair and balanced, I would have been pitted against a parent who still agrees with the mission and the president. And although I grieve for that parent's loss and I respect that parent's opinion, I would have defied Mr. King or that parent to explain the mission to me. I don't think anyone can do it with a straight face. The president has also stated that we need to keep our troops in Iraq to honor our sacrifices by completing this elusive and ever-changing mission. My response to him is, just because it's too late for Casey and the Sheehan family, why would we want another innocent life taken in the name of this chameleon of a mission? Well, I was bumped from the show anyway. Now that Scott Peterson has been convicted and sentenced for his crimes, and Lacey and Connor's family have the justice they deserve, we have the new trial of the century to keep our minds off the nasty and annoying facts that we're waging an immoral war in Iraq. We can fill our TV screens and homes with glorified images of the Michael Jackson molestation trial. We can fill our lives with outrage over victims and hope they get justice, not even questioning the fact that George Bush, his dishonest cabinet, and their misguided policies aren't even brought to the court of public opinion. We won't have to confront ourselves with the fact that the leaders of our country and their lies are responsible for the deaths of 1,438 brave Americans to date, tens of thousands of innocent Iraqis, and the loss of our nation's credibility throughout the world. That might mean we would have to turn off our television sets and do something about it. Oh, yeah. In answer to the original question, Larry, no. It wasn't worth it. Cindy Sheehan, mother of Hebrew specialist Casey Austin Sheehan, killed in action 4-4-04. That's the other side of the story, folks. That's the other side of the story that you never hear. That's the other story that you didn't hear this week at all when you saw these people jumping up and down, hoorah, hoorah, we had an election, which so far hasn't meant to kill beans. We have an American puppet government going in over there. Who knows if the election was fair or not? Who knows if the... Well, we know it was a sham of election, that people didn't know who they're voting for. How can you call that a fair election? I'd love to see the Iraqi people have free and fair elections and have a democracy over there just as much as the next guy. I really would. And I hope it comes to pass. And I hope these deaths of these 1,438 brave Americans do come for some good. I do hope so. I really do. Then we've got to pause for a quick break right now, and we'll be back in just a minute or so. Stay tuned.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Hi, I'm Sam Waterston. Losing your sight would be terrifying. But sadly, more than 6 million Americans are losing their vision to blinding inherited diseases, such as macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. These diseases make it impossible to drive, read, or even see the faces of loved ones. Everything in life becomes a challenge, but there is hope. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge to find cures for these devastating diseases. For free information on the latest treatments and research on macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, and Usher syndrome, or to find out how you can help, please call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-844-1174. That's 800-844-1174. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, driving research to save and restore sight.
If you have diabetes, you already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? Lower your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Ask your doctor to tell you more about the link between diabetes and heart disease, or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
Heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you with the Guy James Show. Coming up on the top of the hour, we'll have news at the top of the hour. Always like to take a moment or two to thank all the contributors to the program. And my goodness, we are thankful to all of you folks who do contribute to the program. Keep it on the air. I'd like to thank John Traub from Cape Coral, Florida. Big special thank you to John. Chris Kern from Hudson, Florida. Carolyn Wyatt from Madison, Wisconsin. Danielle Mosher from Bethesda, Maryland. I love Bethesda, Maryland. William Tuddenham from Naples, Florida. Mr. and Mrs. Tom Sir. Gene Lake from Valley City, North Dakota. Bill Beaumont. Judy and Don Howell. John Coolidge. John Trout. William Sherrill. Paul Gibson. Patrick O'Sullivan. Martin and Michael Pizar from Chicago, Illinois. Larry and Judy Golinski. Robert and Sable Wright of Durham, North Carolina. C.E. Frainer from Naples. Richard McCarthy in Naples. Elaine Miller from Newton, Iowa. Mr. and Mrs. Harold Schechter from Fort Myers. Richard Pratz in Naples. Ralph Edmondson from St. Louis, Missouri. David Goggins from Eureka, California. I got another list around here someplace. Where is it? I think I neglected these people last week. Gina Gilbert Pollock. David Birch, Gretchen Adams, Robert Blankenship, Lawrence Nader, Elena LaBar, Helen Polker, and the list goes on. Robert Wood, Vicki Sandak, Marie Nelson, Robert DeVale, J.D. Marl, Linda Davis, Jeff Matson, Joseph Hinckley, Susan O'Donnell, Paul Johnson, Jeffrey Hales. Thank you to all of you folks for your donations to the program, keeping us on the air. We're trying to keep you informed, keep you entertained, and your donations go far to keep this program on the air. Be sure and tell all of your friends about our new time. We don't have a huge fund to go out and advertise a different time. We've done a lot of promos on the local stations here. But as far as full-page ads in the newspapers and all that, we haven't gotten around to that yet. We're going to talk some more after the top of the hour about the State of the Union speech that was delivered, what was in it and what was not in it. And the different ways people see it. It is fascinating to me. It really is.
try and be objective when I watch things like that, and it's amazing to me sometimes at the completely different light people see things in than I do. And we're also going to have a few minutes of Republican Love, but I think you're going to enjoy it. Probably not as long as the segment was last week, but nonetheless, we got some mail this week. And by the way, to Harold. Harold, you know who you are. Harold, shame on you. Harold, I can't tell you how much shame. I want to say shame on you. That was the nastiest, filthiest, rottenest, most threatening letter I've ever got. So congratulations for that. You're not ever going to be able to top yourself on that one. So thank you, Harold. I think. I don't know. I should print that one out and post it for everybody to see. Ooh. Wish I knew who his boss was. I'd send a copy of it to him. Maybe I can find that out. Yeah. Hey, you are listening to the Guy James Show. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You can call us toll-free, and we expect you to do so. And we're going to stop for the news right now. You're listening to Wink, WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. We'll be right back.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink, WNOG.
CBS News. I'm Dave Barrett. The president's still pushing for ways to shore up Social Security.
We will not increase payroll taxes. We will make the system a better deal for younger workers by allowing them to save some of their payroll taxes in voluntary personal retirement accounts.
Democrats are cautioning he wants to change the way Social Security benefits are calculated. And by doing that, future retirees will see a nearly 50% cut in benefits compared to the current system. And that's whether you set up a private account or not.
Terry McAuliffe runs the Democratic National Committee. Newsweek's Marcus Mabry says his magazine has been on the phone asking questions. How about the response?
The majority of Americans agree with the president that Social Security faces a funding crisis. 65% of Americans say so. But Americans are deeply, deeply and divisively divided on exactly what we should do to save the system.
More than half said investing Social Security contributions in stocks or bonds involves too much risk. Elections are never perfect in this country or in Iraq. Here's CBS's Kimberly Dozier in Baghdad.
Iraqi officials say initial polling returns show the main Shiite coalition pulling ahead. The final tally is due next Thursday. But the count is being slowed by emerging evidence of election irregularities, including entire towns that never got ballots and ballot boxes that show signs of tampering. So Iraqi officials have to rule which votes count.
Screen Actors Guild Awards being doled out tonight in Los Angeles. Some of the highlights. Terry Hatcher wins for Female Actor in a Comedy Series.
I am so proud to be a part of this group. I never thought I could even call myself an actor.
That's from TNT. Hatcher won for her role in Desperate Housewives. That show has also won for Best Ensemble in a TV Series. Monk's Tony Shalhoub wins for Best Male Actor in a Comedy Series. Male Actor in a TV Movie goes to Jeffrey Rush for his work in The Life and Death of Peter Sellers. Female Actor in a Movie Supporting Role, Kate Blanchett in The Aviator. And Glenn Close is tops as Female Actor in a TV Movie or Miniseries for her performance in The Lion in Winter. What do Steve Young, Dan Marino, and Bernie Friedman have in common? They were all NFL quarterbacks. Now they are all heading for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So is the late Fritz Pollard, first black head coach in the NFL. It's a festive Saturday.
Having a fabulous time.
Woo! We're having a good time. A lot of drinking, a lot of having a good time.
Woo! Chaos, pandemonium.
And if you said that's the scene in Jacksonville, home of Super Bowl 39, you missed the mark. That's how some sized up the Mardi Gras celebrations today in and around New Orleans. The partying lasts through Tuesday, Fat Tuesday. This is CBS News.
Well, when you talk trucks, it's hard to talk about the all-new Nissan Titan without using words like powerful, beautiful, comfortable, rugged, tough, sturdy, and that's why every day people pay $25 to $30K. Sutherland Nissan in 2004 sold more new Nissans than ever before. We're going to get bigger in 2005 because at Sutherland, you can drive home your big bad bodacious V8 Titan King Cab XE. $18,988. Are you kidding me? Loaded stereo CD. Automatic and air. Good truck stuff everywhere. $18,988. Naples, are you listening? Dennis, I'm talking to you. If there was ever a real steal-a-truck deal, this is it. Your all-new rock solid. Loaded V8. Titan King Cab XE. $18,988. Waiting for you right now. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers. On US 41 south of Bell Tower Shop on Tamiami Trail. New Titan V8 King Cab XE. $18,988 at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Pins 520-497-519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, stock, credit, and emission fees.
The only thing we have to fear is country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is scared. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. We've got lines open. 479-5540 for all of our friends here in the Fort Myers area. 263-6570. For all of our friends and neighbors down in the Collier County, Naples, Florida area. Are you listening closely? You're getting sleepy. You're getting very sleepy. Listen to the sound of my voice. Are you sleepy now? Pick up your pen. Okay? You've all got your pen in your hand. Now pull out your checkbook. Yes, that's it, that checkbook. The one with an actual balance in it. And write out a check to the Guy James Show. Very good. You're doing very nicely. The Guy James Show. And send it to 12870 Trade Wave 4. That's 12870 Trade Wave 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. I'll give you that address one more time because I know you're waiting for it. 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 134135. Oh, we do need your donations to stay on the air, and we appreciate it very, very much. Got to stay ahead of that. Well, we got to fight that vast right-wing conspiracy. What vast right-wing conspiracy, you say? Well, you know, not so many years ago, I don't know how many it was, maybe 7, 8, I don't know, something like that. A very famous lady, a friend of ours, as a matter of fact, went on TV and announced there was a vast right-wing conspiracy. Now, I think that's the first time those words were ever used in public. And, oh, how the pundits and right-wing people had fun with that statement. They said she was crazy. They said she was just trying to switch blame away from her husband. Vast right-wing conspiracy. You know what? She was right. She was even more right than she or anyone else could possibly have thought at that time. The vast right-wing conspiracy conducted a non-stop witch hunt on Bill Clinton for 8 years, accusing him of everything from drug running to murder. They were wrong, and they knew they were wrong, but that didn't stop them for a moment because they had a mission, and they were going to complete it no matter what the consequences. The mission? To destroy the Democratic Party and seize the power and then begin their agenda of further enriching their already rich and friends and successfully taking over the American media so as to brainwash the public with lies and deception. They have done it. Think about some of the things that have happened these past few years. Even you Republicans, listen to this and be fair.
First, we had the Clinton impeachment. Now tell me that some other presidents in your lifetime haven't done some equally nasty things that Bill Clinton did and had nothing done to them. Nothing. Nothing. Think about the Iran-Contra affair. Think about that. All right, so first we have the Clinton impeachment. It was a big, long circus supported and aided by the vast right-wing media machine. 24 hours a day of Clinton and Monica. You know, never, never has there been such a media freedom frenzy. And then we have Limbaugh and Hannity and Ann the Man Coulter and Laura Ingraham and a host of others who had one oral orgasm after another at over Clinton's indiscretion. They did. You could just see the... Well, you could see the pleasure they were getting from it every time they were on here. You could see them just tense and go, oh, yeah. They loved it. And then we'd have the attacks against Al Gore. Gore was this and Gore was that. And they told enough lies about Al Gore to make Pinocchio's nose stretch from here to the moon, but it worked. It worked. They lied their asses off like no one ever did in politics against Al Gore, and now theirs was a good and decent and honest and bright man. And he gets beat by a moron. Go figure. And then we have their attacks against, skip over that. And then they start their campaign to invade Iraq. As we all know by now, there were some monster lies told about that one. And if you can't accept the fact that there were some monster lies told about the war in Iraq, folks, you need some Valium or something, because you are not dealing with reality. You're just not. And as usual, they were backed up by the overwhelming presence of the right-wing media. They flooded the airwaves 24/7, backing up everything Bush said, as if it were all true beyond a shadow of a doubt. Only problem is, we've since learned that almost all of it was lies or massive distortions designed to accommodate Bush's desire to invade Iraq from his first day in office. And John Kerry would have to agree. John Kerry would really have to agree that the vast right-wing conspiracy is alive and well. Think of what they did to him during the recent campaign. First of all, they leaked the story, starting right out of the gate. They leaked the story about him and a former staffer having an illicit affair. Remember that? The girl from South Africa? Turned out to be pure Republican-backed rubbish. Then they find out that their candidate, who's been far less than forthcoming about his own military record, which remains a mystery to this day, does it not baffle you as to why no one has ever gotten to the bottom of Bush's dubious military record? Does that bother you? But anyway, they find out their candidate can't compare to John Kerry's military record in any way, shape, or form. So what do? They organize all of their right-wing mouthpieces to attack Kerry's record. They actually had the gall to do that. Why? Because they knew no one would hold them accountable, even the Democrats. And if that weren't enough, along comes a Swift Boat Liars group, and they surfaced with millions of dollars behind them, which, by the way, a lot of it came from sources very closely aligned with the Bush people. And those scurrilous creatures were given nonstop coverage by the TV and radio pundits. Never had so few got so much coverage by so many. Kind of a twist on a Winston Churchill thing there. And finally, that isn't good enough for them. They had to attack Kerry's wife. To be sure, Teresa Hines Kerry is an eccentric woman. But her background, like her husband's, is absolutely impeccable. She gives millions to charity, has a great reputation, and the right-wing media went after her like the school of piranhas that they are. Vast right-wing conspiracy? How about Jerry Falwell selling those videotapes about Clinton, the Clinton Chronicles, I believe that the cape was called, to make money for his non-profit church? Jerry Falwell sells videos called the Clinton Chronicles, accusing him of being a murderer and a drug runner. How about Richard Mellon-Skate putting his money into the effort to bring Clinton down? You know, I could go on and on and on and on. I don't know what could prove a vast right-wing conspiracy any better than that. Well, maybe except to find out that the Bush administration has been paying off the media to push their agenda. Now, that might really do it. And now it turns out that the Armstrong-Williams affair was only the tip of the iceberg. The more we dig, the more payola we find. The question is, do all of them get a check from the White House every month? How many of them are on the payroll of the RNC or the White House? When we see Republican pundits on TV now, are we to automatically believe that they just got their talking points from the White House fax machine? Or did Karl Rove call them and tell them what to say personally? I suspect both is true. How can we possibly believe the White House hasn't brought themselves all the good press they want? Just went out and bought and paid for it. How can we be sure that every right-wing talking head and talk radio host isn't parroting every word they say straight from the daily RNC talking points? The answer is we can't be sure, because now we now know for a fact that it is happening. We now have the media bought and paid for and controlled by the Republicans. Used to be that we gave the Russians a lot of hell for controlling their media. Remember Pravda? As it turns out, we're doing the same thing here now, only on a much larger scale. And, unlike the Russians, our government won't even admit it. How low we have sunk. How much lower can we go? So Hillary Clinton is right about the vast right-wing conspiracy. She and I don't agree in all political matters, but this one, she's dead on, folks. She knows it's true, and if you're to be honest with yourself, you know it's true. There is, in fact, the great right-wing conspiracy. It's alive and well. And also, how many of you heard, I can't think of this guy, what's his name? Don't have his name at the moment. He has this media outlet called The Talon. And you know, about 2 or 3 months ago, I was watching a White House press conference, because they're always a hoot. And this guy stands up and starts asking a question, but instead of a question, it was a big, long statement, you know, going like, oh, my God, how can people ask us questions of the President of the United States when he's doing such a wonderful job and we think we love him and, you know, these people are terrible to the President. I'm sitting there listening, Jesus, this is a White House press reporter? He went on and on and gave this flowery, declarative statement about Bush. And I thought, my God, I've never heard anything like this. Meanwhile, there's Helen Thomas sitting in the back row with duct tape around her mouth, not allowed to ask questions anymore. And this clown from the Talon, is doing this. And so I was watching again a couple months later, and there he is again. And Scott McClellan calls on him again, and he said, you know, instead of, oh, gee, it's too bad the way they treat the president. You know, I don't know why the press has to be so mean. You know, he's a press guy. And so now he's been outed. I've got a note on this guy around here someplace. Wouldn't you know? Can't find it right at the moment. I will, though. He gets up and he starts telling all these stories about how great the president is, and we find out that he's a plant. He's a plant. The Talon is not any kind of a press media outlet at all. It's a half-assed website. The guy can't even get press credentials to get in the Capitol building. But he's at the White House press conference, and what he's there for is to throw softballs when McClellan can't take the hard hits. I tell you, there's nothing these people won't stop at, but you know what? You ask them questions about this guy, and they just ignore it. They're acting like he's not alive. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. You know, we talked a lot about State of the Union speech tonight. And And I noticed, like a lot of you, there's a lot of things Bush said and a lot of things he didn't say. He talked a little bit about the wars against Iraq and Afghanistan, and mostly with propaganda. He talked about the federal budget deficit. Said he'd like to cut the deficit in half by the year 2009, which something he's been saying for quite a while now, and it just hasn't come true yet. And, you know, I suppose that we should perhaps be happy that he bothered to mention those two topics at all, because on several others, Bush was completely silent. Here's a guy, the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, and his job is to get up and give a honest assessment of the State of the Union of the United States of America. Did not mention the declining value of the U.S. dollar versus the euro and other currencies. Not one word, and believe me, folks, trust me, this is going to become a huge issue in your life and my life. Didn't mention vote fraud and the irregularities during the U.S. presidential election. Not a word. Didn't mention the tsunami that caused death and destruction in so many places in the nation. Not a word. Not gee whiz, we're sorry, our thoughts and prayers are with the folks. Nothing. Didn't mention torture at Abu Ghraib prison. And Guantanamo, another U.S. prison. Not a word about it. So, here he gives up the State of the Union speech. And I went back and I did a little research on things Mr. Bush has mentioned during other State of the Union speeches. During the 2003 State of the Union address, how many times did Bush mention Osama bin Laden in the 2003 State of the Union address? Zero. The 2004 State of the Union address? Zero. The 2005 State of the Union address? Zero. I guess Osama's just not popular anymore. How many times did he mention our neighbors and the problem we have with the borders right now to the south? How many times did Bush discuss Mexico in a speech? And folks, make no mistake about it, this is a problem that we have to deal with. In the State of the Union speech in 2003, zero. 2004, zero. 2005, zero. These are pressing issues. How many times did he discuss Canada, our neighbors to the north, in a speech? 2003, zero. 2004, zero. 2005, zero. And did he mention any Central or South American country whom we have issues with at this time? 2003 State of the Union address, zero. 2004, zero. State of the Union address in 2005, zero. Folks, this is supposed to be the condition our country's in. And he talked about nothing. Nothing. How many times did Bush mention corporate accountability or maybe Enron in a speech? 2003, zero. 2004, zero. 2005, zero. I guess that sleeping dogs lie on that. But he spoke about the Social Security program in the U.S. And in that one place in his entire speech where he offered details, they were false. One of the numbers he cited, and I think it may be accurate, is a projection that indicates by the year 2033 that Social Security system will be paying out about $300 billion more each year than it takes in. That was named by Bush as a horrible, terrible disaster, something to fear. But here he's running a $500 billion deficit in federal spending right now, and that's perfectly all right. Someone please explain that to me. How many years can we run a $500 billion a year deficit? How many years till we go bankrupt? He didn't talk about that, did he? Gee, I would like my president to mention that. Seems like it's a little, I could be wrong. Seems like it's a little important. Let's go to Arnie in Cape Coral. Hi, Arnie.
Hey, how you doing, guy? You know, first I want to say, that is Osama bin forgotten.
Oh, yes. Long forgotten.
No, bin Laden. Anyway, I was going to talk about, you know, you never hear about the national debt anymore. It's in the trillions, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, how many seconds do you think a trillion seconds, how many years do you think that is?
Oh,
just without doing any computation.
Well, it'd be a lot more than your lifetime. It probably, let me say that it would be, I'm just going to take a wild guess because I figured 1,000 years.
Okay. Actually, it's 37,000 years.
Oh, man.
That is amazing, isn't it? It's incredible. And when you think about the national debt now, you think about how much money we do owe them. I mean, that's a trip.
37,000 years?
It's a trillion seconds.
Huh.
It is amazing. You can do the computation after you get your... Be off the air, and you'll be amazed.
My calculator doesn't go that far, Arnie.
Yeah.
My God, that's just something you start talking about that.
Yeah.
Who was the old politician who said the billionaire, billionaire, so pretty soon you're talking about real money?
Yeah, I don't know. What were you saying now?
Well, talking about odd figures that people come up with.
Yeah.
When they first started talking about the vote that took place the last Sunday, right out of the gate, the right-wing press was saying, hey, it was a 72% turnout. Well, we did a little math on that, and we figured there was 5,200 polling stations times 10 hours of voting times 60 minutes an hour. That gave them 3.12 million voter minutes at the polls. And with approximately 15 million eligible voters times 72%, that means 10.8 million voters went to the polls. Or a voter casting a ballot steadily every 20 seconds at every polling place in the country all day long. This from a country that never held an election, where there's over 100 parties for voters to choose from, and where the polling stations were kept secret until 2 days ago. We love those numbers. Hey, thanks for your call, Arnie.
No problem, guys.
37,000 years. Man, I got to work on that one. Jeez. 37,000 years. Oh, hey, let's go to Ron in Fort Myers. Hi, Ron.
Yes, Guy?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, on the Social Security, if an average person was making $50,000, which is not a lot of money today, and I think they're paying around approximately 7% for them and 7% for the employer, that's 14%. That means they're putting $7,000 a year in Social Security. Is that right?
Well, that would be right if those figures are right, yeah.
Yeah. So if you figure then for 40 years, it looks like you're putting in $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, with $300,000, if you were to deposit that in the bank and then you went to withdraw your money and the bank told you, well, geez, the money's not there. We spent it on something else. It seems like that would be a pretty crooked deal. So what Bush is doing is stealing our money.
Well, you've never heard me say he was honest. Not ever.
But you never hear anybody saying this.
No.
I mean, I don't understand what's wrong with the people. It's just unheard of that. And then the other thing is, if you were making $50,000 a year, you know, with inflation, in 20 years, you'd be making a lot more, because in the last 40 years, inflation, all the prices went up 10 times, but of course wages only went up 5 times. So you'd be probably putting in about $1 million in your account.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. You're right.
And all of a sudden, the money disappeared. I mean, I would think the people... after Bush, he's a big crook, taking all our money. And he spent it all and gave it all to the rich people and went to fight a war that wasn't necessary.
How much more proof do people need that the interest of the American people is something George W. Bush has never crossed his mind?
That's for sure.
How many more things need to happen? We've got a phony war going on. We've got people killed. We've got this phony Social Security scam. We've got, you know, all the lies that came out of the Pentagon and came out of the White House. You know, sooner or later, doesn't it cross a Republican's mind, a voter of his, and goes, wait a minute, this isn't right. I mean, I keep waiting, but, I don't know.
The other thing, Guy, I was in Texas a month ago. I was about 50 miles northwest of Abilene, Texas, and the people there are so poor. They're actually making $5.15 an hour, and they're all for Bush. It's hard to understand how they can even survive.
And they're Bush people.
And these were Texas people born there. These weren't immigrants or anything else. They it seems
those people that like to be tortured, beaten and tortured, they like it. I can't think of what to call them. But, yeah, they're certainly masochists. Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Well, Ron, unfortunately, there's a lot of stupid people in the world. And I'd have to say some of those folks around Abilene certainly could.
I guess you're right.
Nicely. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Abilene, prettiest town I've ever seen. And I know Glenn, no, what's his name, song. Glenn Camp, that's right. I'm not going to take a call at the bottom of the hour. We got a break coming up in just a minute. Do remind me, we are going to have right after the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a few minutes of Republican Love, and you're going to want to hear it. We got some a little tenderness in the mail this week from some of the folks. They love us, and they might not love us in a peculiar way, but they do love us nonetheless. So we'll have that coming up. Hey, we're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back, so don't go anywhere at all.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
It's Southwest Florida's most exclusive home tour event, the Greater Naples Luxury Home Tour, co-presented by Anderson Windows and Robin Stuckey Interiors. 14 spectacular homes, valued from $1 to $7 million, collectively worth more than $40 million. Take advantage of this rare opportunity to walk through the area's most luxurious model homes in some of the most exclusive gated communities in Lee and Collier counties. These must-see homes feature the latest in craftsmanship, technology, appliances, furniture, landscaping, and more. The Greater Naples Luxury Home Tour runs Friday through Sunday, weekends of February 4th, 11th, and 18th. Save $5 on advanced passport tickets. Just $15 at CVS Pharmacy and Robin Stuckey Interiors. Passport tickets are $20 at the homes. Tour all 14 homes with one passport ticket. Find details at NaplesHomeTour.com and in the February issue of Gulf Shore Life. Tickets on sale now at CVS Pharmacy and Robin Stuckey Interiors. It's Southwest Florida's most exclusive home tour event, the Greater Naples Luxury Home Tour, during the weekends of February 4th, 11th, and 18th.
The First Presbyterian Church in the heart of Fort Myers is an invitation to everyone in Fort Myers. Please join the 16th annual Mrs. Edison's Hymn Sing. It's Tuesday, February 8th, with two programs this year, 1 to 3:15 and during the evening at 6:15. Or join in both for a full day of joyful noise. All brought to you by your friends at First Presbyterian and the fine folks at the Galloway family of dealerships. So come on in and join the gospel choir, the First Presbyterian Bell Choir, your friends, family, and neighbors. Sing along with great hymns and gospel favorites like The Old Rugged Cross, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and many, many more. It's a great opportunity for you to get a sense of what they're all about at First Presbyterian. As you'll see, a simple song for all ages can be the first step on your lifelong journey with a meaningful relationship with God. Tuesday, February 8th, for the 16th annual Mrs. Edison's Hymn Sing at 3:15 or 6:15 at First Presbyterian Church in the heart of Fort Myers. We hope to see you there.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics. We struggle to keep the peace, to make things right. Controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-ALANON or visit our website at www.alanon.alateen.org. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Environmental Defense presents Let's Make a Difference, where we test one lucky contestant's level of environmental knowledge. Ready, Kevin?
Ready.
When buying seafood, can you tell which are caught in an environmentally friendly way?
Definitely.
Are you lying?
Absolutely.
Time's up, and Kevin, I'd say you're more than capable of making a positive difference in the environment.
I am?
That's right. Simply visit GetGreen.com to learn how choosing seafood that's plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way can help keep our oceans healthy and full of fish. That's GetGreen.com. This has been an ad council and environmental defense production.
Pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Well, I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small staff number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
All righty then, we're here for the last half hour of the program, and it's time to get serious. I'm going to give you the phone numbers, and you can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. So call the program, plenty of time for you to get in yet, 479-5540. Here in Lee County, in 263-6570, to all of our friends down in Collier County. We're going to start up the orchestra. Ron, would you mind? You know, the man is a master with the baton. He is. He's got that touch. Not everybody has, but Ron has it. Well, it's serious time, and a few minutes of Republican love. We get letters each week, email from some of our Republican friends. Some of them we can read, some of them we can't. And the respectful, decent ones there we try and read. And I got to tell you, I got this one letter this week that really, really, really caused me to think. Really caused me to think. Are we okay with the level of the orchestra there over the voice, Ron? Are they okay? All right. Sir, I listen to your show on a regular basis, and it hit me last week that you have never said one positive thing about President Bush. I hold our president in very high regard, and I think he has many very fine qualities. I also think you damage your own credibility by finding fault with every last thing about our president. Surely you can find some good in a man whom 60 million of your fellow citizens voted for, Gerald in Clewiston, Florida. Well, Gerald, I thought this over and over and over, and you're right. You're absolutely right. I have found a lot of fault with Mr. Bush. I really have. And it's true that I probably haven't said anything positive about him. So I want to correct that situation. I don't want to let something like that go without doing my best to correct it. So I sat down this week and pondered this subject for several hours. I got me a big orange drink and went out on the lanai on a nice day and took a pencil and paper out there and drew lines and everything, and I'm going to write down all the positive things that I can think of about Mr. Bush. Because, admittedly, I've never tried to do that before, and I thought, well, you know, so I got a regular piece of paper, and I put about 20 lines on it there and wrote across the top positive things about George W. Bush. Well, 1 hour went by, 2 hour went by, had to go in and get me another big orange drink, by the way. I was right in the middle of the third hour, came up with nothing, and all of a sudden it hit me like a bolt of lightning. I sat straight up in my chair, and I can't tell you the joy I experienced at having my first positive thought about this president, Mr. Bush. I was absolutely elated. I like his suits. Yes, sir. His suits are pretty damn nice, if you ask me. And, of course, they ought to be at what I hear is over $5,000 a pop. But I do like his suits. Well, except for that one he wore the night of the debate when it looked like he had wires running down the back of his suit. That one looked kind of funny. But other than that, I like your suit, so, you know, get off my back. There you go. Took me a lot of time to work on that. All right, here we go, another letter. Yes, Mr. Perfect. Dear Mr. Perfect. He starts out, Dear Mr. Perfect. Yes, Mr. Perfect, because you talk like you know it all and you are always right and everyone else is always wrong. You brag about giving out nothing but facts and Rush Limbaugh says nothing but lies. I am a Rush Limbaugh fan, and why would a man as honored and esteemed as Rush Limbaugh have to lie? Well, since you ask, I'll tell you why a guy like Rush Limbaugh would have to lie. It's because he wouldn't dare tell the truth. He wouldn't dare. If he told the truth about Bush's intentions with this Social Security scam of his, who would buy into it? If he told the truth about the Iraq War, who would have backed it? If he told the truth about Bush's military record, would Bush have been elected? Hell no. And if he told the truth about John Kerry's military record, wouldn't Kerry have been elected? You bet he would have. You know, actually, Rush has no real incentive to tell the truth about anything. And what if he told the truth about his own huge drug problem? If he told the truth about that, he'd likely be in a slammer right now. So I'm not going to criticize Limbaugh for lying his rear end off, because who knows, faced with the same set of realities he has to deal with, I'm not so sure I can spit out the truth either. So I want to thank you, Evan, for your letter. It was good. You know, I thought of some things there. And the last letter. I dare you. I love these ones. I dare you. I double dog. You didn't hear that when you were a kid? I double dog dare you. I triple dog. I never did find out what that dog deal was, but we said it anyway. I dare you to read this letter on the air. Your show is getting more and more repulsive. You know, I really, that hurt me there. Repulsive each week. He goes on to say, I can barely stand to listen to you anymore. I used to be a Democrat, but when Clinton did his dirty stuff with Monica, I quit. Any man who would do that kind of stuff doesn't deserve to be our leader. In fact, any guy in the Congress who gets caught doing that kind of stuff should be thrown out, and that goes for the Supreme Court, too. This is from Lou. How about the women in Congress, Lou? Them, too? I tell there would be a Congress left. I mean, half the country. Oh, let me assure you, Lou, far more than half the country would be in jail. We have enough filth in this country and don't need our leaders going around doing sex things that decent people don't do. That's why Reverend Falwell and Reverend Pat Robertson and my own pastor are such good leaders, because none of them do that really dirty stuff. How do you know that, Lou? you might be surprised, Lou. Really, you might. Send me your pastor's phone number, and I'll call him and ask him if he does any of that dirty stuff. If he says yes, will you be a Democrat again? You know, we're a bunch of swingers over on the other side, Lou. You know, we have a lot of fun. You sound like, I don't know, you sound like a little uptight to me, Lou. Really. So, that's the end of a few minutes of Republican love tonight. And always, as always, those puppies are real entertaining. Keep those cards and letters coming. Let's go. How do you follow that? Hey, we are going to pause for a quick break before we go into the last segment of the program. So if you're on the phone, hang on. We'll be right with you.
The Guy James Show.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you are not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Today, a leading medical expert revealed an unusual method for treating parental illness.
If my mom's sick like she is today, I don't know if she's sick, but she's kind of tired, so I gave her a little puppet show. I have my little cow puppets, little green puppets. I don't know what they are. They're like little aliens. I make them talk the same language.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Somebody's got to say it.
You talk about people that are out of touch with reality.
That's why Neil Lortz is on the radio.
Anybody that would put a bumper sticker on their car bragging that their kid is an honor student at a government school, these people don't have a clue. What is an honor student at a government school? A seventh grade honor student is one that can read to a fourth grade level. These people actually believe that there's such a thing as an honor student at a government school. They don't know what's going on. Hey, I'm Neil Lortz. Your daily dose of reality starts weekday mornings at 10 on Wink WNO.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Alrighty, here we are back for the last 15 minutes of the program. Where does the time go? Where? Hey, we're going to go to the phone right away. 888-602-7500-7501-0203-04. Let's go to line number 5 over here, Ray in New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Ray.
Hello, is this line number 5?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Guy, Ray from New Haven, Connecticut. How are you doing?
Good to hear from you.
Actually, you sound great. Great show. I've had a chance to listen to most of it today. And, so much to talk about. Number 1, Lieberman. He's my senator. God help us. He's elected because the Republicans love him so much. They talk of cross-endorsing him. They don't run anybody serious against him. They just love him, and he has the money of the Republicans behind him, which makes it very difficult for Democrats to run against him. When I called him on this Gonzalez nomination, and I asked if he was going to vote with the 8 Democratic senators on the committee, the Judiciary Committee, who voted against the nomination, or if he was going to vote with the 10 Republicans. And the fellow who took the call said, I don't know, he hasn't decided yet. I said, oh, does he know whether he's a Democrat or a Republican? And I think the fellow on the phone answered, I think so. He didn't seem to know for sure. Lieberman's one of the worst. God help us.
Well, you know, the day that Al Gore announced that Joe Lieberman was his running mate, I said, Al, it's over.
Yep, well... another thing I wanted to talk about that you touched on was the debates and George Bush. There's an article on the website, fair.org, about the Emperor's New Hump. It's really very good about how the New York Times really was going to run with this story and expose Bush for the cheat that he was, that the hump on his back was very clearly it wasn't just a hump. You could actually see in an enhanced photo that there was a wire running from the hump over his shoulder, and the article was really going to expose Bush, but the White House got very upset with them and persuaded them not to do it. They were afraid of influencing the election, as obvious. It should have influenced the election, and it didn't, because the rich and the powerful really control the media, and so the story was killed. But you can read it now, at least.
And anybody with eyes can see that there's a device there.
Oh, but,
I mean,
but the purpose of the media is to make sure that you don't believe what you see.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Woodward and Bernstein when we needed them?
Right. Well, look how much effort it took to get that story out, too. It finally succeeded, but it took a tremendous amount of effort. And that was a time when there were still a few liberals in the media. With regards to Social Security. I saw a great sign. I loved it so much. I put it on my car and on my website. I think Democrats everywhere ought to pick up on this sign. It says it all. Bush, don't mess with SS.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that.
How brief can you make it? It fits on a bumper sticker with letters big enough so people can see it. I love it. I think Democrats ought to run with it. I loved your Republican love. And I've got a message for the last one. Lou,
yeah.
who thinks that President Clinton was the only one who ever deviated from the marriage bed.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot to learn. I'd recommend to anybody who has that illusion that they go to my website, which is JesusNoRepublican.org/. You can stop there and see the whole site. Or to see this particular actually two sections. I've one about the corruption of Republican politicians, which is called GOP corruption, all one word. And I've got another section on the corruption of conservative leaders like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell. And for sexual corruption, you got a champion like Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah.
That's called JesusNoRepublican.org/blindleaders, one word.
Oh, and you might want to go to the library and pick up your nearest book, your quickest book you could find about Warren Gamille Harding as well.
Okay, well, anyway, great program. Keep up the good work. You're doing a fantastic job, guys.
Thank you, Ray. Good to hear from you. Up there in Lieberman territory, let's see. We got to go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, I still enjoy your program, and I enjoyed your Republican love. By the way, can I give you another good thing about George W. Bush?
Yeah, go ahead. I've been searching.
I think he's nice to his dog.
Oh, well, no, there you go. There you go. I mean,
he seems to be very nice to his dog.
Yeah, yeah. Mark that down. Okay.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah. That's on the list.
Okay, I just thought I'd contribute to that.
Suits and dogs, we got it.
I mean, he seems to be well-meaning, genial, and he treats the dog nicely. I think that is a very nice feature of our president.
Well, it is, because you know some presidents have gotten in trouble over dogs. You remember the Lyndon Johnson?
Yes.
The dog up at his ears,
yeah.
And all?
Well, something in the news that kind of disturbed me. I was sort of in the newspaper, and I was watching a discussion on C-SPAN about a Marine general, I didn't quite catch his name, who got a public statement out that he enjoyed killing people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you discussed it, because I came in late tonight.
No, I didn't discuss it.
You know, I don't know if anybody else is disturbed, but, you know, I've brought out the fact in previous shows that I think this war is illegal because it violates the Constitution. And here we have the war being run by generals who look at this war and say, it's great to kill people.
Yeah.
Where is this country? And then, you know, they're going to give them some quote-unquote counseling. I mean, we're not in a justified war. We were with people who just enjoy killing people for the sake of killing people. What kind of people are we have running our military?
Most people that come out and say they enjoy killing people end up in a cell somewhere.
No, this is the leadership of our country.
Yeah.
And the top leadership of our country doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Does that begin to word war criminal come into the play there, or am I...
come into play, as you better believe it, and that's the reason Donald Rumsfeld isn't heading to Germany this week.
I mean, you know, if we are encouraging people who seem to have this homicidal bent, who are leading our Marines, you know, I believe that you have to do what you have to do in order to get a result, to save our country. But if we're going out there for the pleasure and sport of killing people, and that person is not, they're not looking seriously at this person and think of them as a good leader, then it implies that the morality which we used to have in this country has disappeared. And yet this is a leadership that ran on moral issues. My question is, where is that moral issue?
Exactly. Well, you know, John, the moral issues are, they're going away. They're going away, and we're letting it happen.
Now, again, all these people consider themselves good Christians.
Yeah, exactly.
And who talk about, you know, they're against abortion because we can't have the killing of babies. But then they believe in a war and supporting generals who look at the killing of people in this thing as sport.
Yes, yes.
And then we talk about morality. And, you know, then I hear that, well, the Democrats have to be careful not to rile up the people. I think people need to be riled up.
Absolutely. That's the problem.
And I'll be frank with you. I'm looking, hoping Howard Dean does get the chairmanship of the party, because I think he's the person who probably can do it.
I think so, too. I agree.
And I think there are moral issues that need to be looked at. You know, I was wondering another thing, if I could suggest something. I looked at this Ukrainian election.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the people who did, you know, support the president who eventually won there, they all wore orange.
Yeah.
And said, we got to do that. Maybe we need to get, yes, we're in a minority at this point, or appearing to be in a minority, and maybe we need to get a color, and if we don't all wear scarves, some sort of a bandana, some sort of a color like orange, and that people can visually see that there's a group of people in this country that's growing larger that does not support this immorality.
And they stayed in the streets for weeks in the freezing cold because they so believed in what was right, they were willing to stay in the freezing cold for weeks. What have we done?
I mean, we hear this support life. Well, where is support life when we're supporting generals who believe that fighting is a sport of killing people?
Most good generals feel that finding a way not to have to kill is the way to go.
And where are the leaders, the Rumsfeld, the Bushes, who are supporting this? You know, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about Iraq. And when we talk about the elections and all these people getting killed over there, the death toll over there with the loss of our own people, the loss of the Iraqis, you know, they're just lives because they're over there.
That's right. That's right. They don't count. Hey, John, I got to move along. I got one more call I have to get in tonight. And by the way, I'm working on that War Powers Act thing.
Hey, great.
I got quite a stack looking into that.
Well,
right,
I'll
now
tell you, I hope you do a show on it. And
we will. We will.
Certainly we'll call in on that.
Thank you, John.
Take care.
Bye now. Well, we're going to do one last call tonight. We're going to go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Fort Myers.
Yes, sir.
Can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
No, you just cut yourself off after that other guy runs the mouth for a half hour.
What's on your mind tonight, John?
Are you familiar with Hustler magazine?
No.
You're not familiar?
No.
With the guy that owns it? That got shot?
Oh, years ago, I remember there was some guy that owned a porno magazine and got shot. Yeah, something like that.
It's not porno. Anyway, his investigation on Bush's girlfriend going to Mexico to get an abortion.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anything about
that? I did hear something about that, yes.
How come nobody's investigating?
I don't know. I've never heard another thing about it. I do remember. Now, you have jogged my memory. I do remember where he said that he had that information and he was going to bring it out before the election, but he never did, so he must not have had the goods.
Well, he wanted to live.
Well, that's entirely
you
possible.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's why.
you're talking about Larry Flint.
Right.
Yeah, okay, yeah. He knows what it's like to get shot. Yeah, he said
that's right.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, see, I know a lot about this. Not a lot, but I know some things about it. I lived in Midland, Texas.
Mm. Midland, Texas.
Where he's from.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And used to loaf around in the Kiev center there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Hey, John, I got to wrap this up real quick. I got to be out of here in seven seconds. So it's, I'm sorry to cut you short, but we are at the end of the program. Thanks for listening to the Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you next week.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative...